Blog Talk Radio.
You gonna hit the music?
I did.
And I am a certified G and a bona fide son, and you can't teach that.
It's sickness.
Yeah.
What's up, motherfuckers? The champ is back on the motherfucking airwaves.
Yeah.
Tell your fucking mother. Tell your fucking grandmother. Tell your fucking auntie. Tell your fucking sister. Tell them all. The motherfucking Dabbing Aladdin is back.
Yeah, laying a smackdown on you ass clowns. Your bitch heard me spit, now she all up on my nuts like a pat down. They know I always carry mad pounds, but can't find them cause they're in the mail all wrapped in women's nightgowns. Exposing you rodents while pushing potent potions. My heritage, the diagnosis for my verbal explosions. Been chosen to leave you choking like dirt weed that you smoking. Dabbing Aladdin's in town is the reason for the commotion. But jealous people got word, I don't care what you heard cause I'ma do me. I ain't backing down, I don't get scared. Bitch, you soft, I done paid the cost. That's why I'm the boss. Riding around the town a couple pounds. Bitches love how I put it down. I ain't stopping for a fucking phone ringing, money coming in. I be blowing up, always reading up. I'm the shit, you just a get the grand, that's the master plan. Fuck it, make it mills, all about my bills. You'll never catch me with a
couple-headed.
I'm in charge and I'm living large. Smoking on cigars, I will let you hit it. But you looking like a
couple-headed.
Yeah. That's the game plan, hit the club and make it rain, man. Indian bitch in my lap doing the rain dance. White bitch with a spray tan, how much I gotta pay, man? I'll beat that pussy up like it's sports entertainment. I got money in the bank, bitch, and I ain't waiting. Give me the title now, I'll take it without hesitation. I shatter competition, bring them to their undertaking. Then tombstone their bitch into the motherfucking pavement. It's hell in a cell, so I stay away from cops. Cops the merch from my website, it was made in sweatshops. Enjoy the mixtape, even though you hope it flops. Ayo Enzo, hit him with it when the beat drops. Yeah, y'all catch that? Dabbing Aladdin, shattering competition. I didn't think so. Riding around the town a couple pounds. Bitches love how I put it down. I ain't stopping for a fucking phone ringing, money coming in. I be blowing up, always reading up. I'm the shit, you just a get the grand, that's the master plan. Fuck it, make it mills, all about my bills. You'll never catch me with a
couple-headed.
I'm in charge and I'm living large. Smoking on cigars, I will let you hit it. But you looking like a
couple-headed. I'd be jealous of us too, cause you're ugly as hell.
Hey, yeah, how are you? How you doing? How's your mother? Welcome to the motherfucking Dabbing Aladdin podcast, episode 223. I am back. It's been a few months. I did a bunch of mushrooms and went on a vision quest. And according to Ernesto, I suffered an ego death. So now I have no more ego. I am completely egoless. I am on the same level as like a Buddhist monk, pretty much. I reached enlightenment and I am at Zen. Namaste, everybody. And now I have no more ego. So get ready for the egoless Dabbing Aladdin. It's been the rebirth. I went through a death and a rebirth. This is part of the hero's journey. I am a hero. And I've educated myself on this. Ernesto has helped explain it to me. The hero's journey goes as such. The hero gets a call to adventure. That's what happened to me when someone offered to give me mushrooms. And then there's supernatural aid, which is obviously the mushrooms. And then there is a threshold guardian, which in this situation would be the police, because they did not like the fact that I crossed the threshold into the supernatural world, and they came and arrested me. And everything is fine now. I broke through the threshold, and then I had a helper who I don't really know who the helper is. Honestly, I think it was somebody from another dimension, maybe aliens, maybe a dead person who I was talking to. And then there is a mentor who I also don't know who that is. And then there is temptation, which probably would be sluts in this situation because I've been in a relationship now with my lovely girlfriend for like 2.5, 3 years-ish. And there have been sluts coming out of the woodwork. And I have been turning the sluts down, fighting off temptation and the devil. And then there is Abyss and Rebirth, which is where I had my ego death. I have no more ego. And then there is a transformation, and then atonement, and then return. And right after atonement, before return, you receive a gift, which I will be talking about on this very podcast. But we have a couple people here on the podcast tonight. This is take two. Take one did not go very well. I had to delete it. I yelled at Dylan, who was not speaking for about 20 minutes, and said some very mean things. I'm sorry, Dylan. Why don't you hit your own theme music, Dylan, and buzz yourself in if you're able to.
Who are the five best rappers of all time? Think about it. Dylan, 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 and Dylan. Because I spit hot fire.
Fire. Boom o'clock.
What's popping, Vanilla Face? You're here now. Everything's good.
We got a microphone working now. We're working now. I mean, we work through shit, you know. Sometimes it's just people's time of the month and they flip out for no reason. But, you know, we're golden.
Dude, I'm not smoking weed anymore. After reaching enlightenment, I no longer need to smoke weed. So I don't have – I've reached enlightenment, but I'm less calm. So even though I don't have an ego, sometimes I get ahead of myself. I'm trying to, like – my brain is, like, literally working differently right now because usually when the podcast starts, I have 3 blunts rolled, and I light the first one in the green room, and then the show starts. And as the show goes on, progressively more and more chill, and now there's none of that. I just smoked a cigar. And now I'm ripping a Juul and drinking caffeine. So I'd imagine as the show goes on, I'm just going to get angrier and angrier. And I don't know how this is going to fucking go. But it's a new chapter in the fucking life of Dabbing Aladdin. So we're moving. It's a new era with this show. I've suffered an ego death and rebirth. And I'm a better person. And but I'm not better than everybody else. We are all one, Dylan. We're all one in this world. That's what I've realized in my trip to enlightenment. And why don't you hit the fucking Crippler music, Chris Benoit, and buzz in fucking everybody's favorite psychopath, Dennis Ford.
If the song wants to play, come on.
Come on. Come on. You can do it. Come on.
There we go.
Apparently we're still out here, so, you know, hanging out in the corner. So.
We're still here. We ain't going nowhere. I'm chilling on my fucking Tesla charger right now and my fucking Tesla. And, it's been a fucking hectic year. I got a fucking lot to talk about. I'm trying to figure out a way I can phrase this and not sound like a fucking psychopath. But I thought the best way to start the story was taking everybody back to 2012 when I met Dylan. Do you remember that year, Dylan?
Oh, yeah. We were at fucking in Windsor Gardens, and that was when I started going to college.
Yeah, and I was your neighbor upstairs. I was flying a fucking remote control helicopter off of my porch, and it fell down to where you were smoking weed. And then I went down, and then we started smoking weed together, and we became friends. And then about a week later, I got pulled out of the apartment by the cops and taken to fucking...
Like, if that.
And, yeah, that was a whole different fiasco. That was from doing too much acid and running my mouth. And then I did acid a few times after that situation. And then I didn't do it. I haven't done it really since. And we did it a couple times you moved across town. Was that place still in Norwood? Yeah.
Yeah, Norwestwood.
Yeah, we did acid a bunch over there too. And I had never really done mushrooms. Like, on my little trip I took before I met you, I drank mushroom tea out of a glass head with Space Jesus in Ohio. And that was, like, the only real time I did mushrooms. And I was so fucked up on other shit that I didn't really get the full effect of mushrooms. So then fucking this year comes, and some guy who grows mushrooms in California offered to trade me mushrooms for dab swords. So I said, all right. And I sent him a couple dab swords.
Naturally.
And he sent me some mushrooms. I did half the mushrooms, and then I mailed you the rest, and then you did the mushrooms. And you were completely fine, but I went on a vision.
I want to call completely fine. I mean, I thought it was only like a gram, and I ended up eating an eighth, and I tripped my fucking brains out. That was some hard-ass mushrooms. I haven't had mushrooms that strong in a while.
They were penis-envy mushrooms. I talked to a bunch of hippies at a hippie party like a month or two ago, and they told me those are some of the strongest mushrooms out there. So it was no joke, the mushrooms that we were doing. And I know people do, like, micro-dosing nowadays, which is, like, taking, like, 0.1 or less, like, every day or every week or something like that. I called what I was doing micro-dosing, but I wasn't really micro-dosing. I was just dosing. And I was eating, like, I started with, like, a half gram once a week, and then I went up to, like, a gram once a week, and I did it for, like, about a month or two. And it was some fucking crazy shit. Like, I was really, the way I was doing it is actually like a pretty responsible way to do it. Like, I would take the mushrooms, and then I would fucking sit on my couch in the living room, and I would take notes in my cell phone about my feelings and what I was feeling inside my head. And I dug deep in myself to reach enlightenment, basically, and have an ego death, like I mentioned before. And this resulted in me running my mouth again and getting arrested again and getting fucking locked in a fucking loony bin for 2 weeks and then 5 days later on. So it's been a fucking hectic summer. I'm trying to, like part of me thinks I should just keep this shit to myself and, like, not discuss it on a podcast so everybody doesn't think I'm fucking crazy and I can still, like, do business with people. But I feel like if I did that, it wouldn't really be, like, honest. You know what I mean? I feel like you have to fucking – everything I've done is, like, honest. I have trouble fucking lying, and I'm just a pretty fucking honest guy. So part of me is just to fucking go over. You know what I'm saying?
Real quick, man. I mean, just from talking to you in the last hour or so, I mean, there's definitely some changes that have happened with you. I don't know if I like this version of you. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of weird.
We have a caller that pressed one.
I think it's Ernesto. Why don't you buzz him? I forget what his fucking music is, but.
The wise man.
There we go. Hello?
Yo.
Ernesto.
What up, guys?
Yo, what's
Don't mind me. I took a breath right before you buzzed me in. No, I'm not. Hi, Dennis. How are you?
Good. I haven't heard from you in a while, man.
Yeah, it's been a busy year. Real quick,
yeah,
Joe.
I
heard you saying about, like, you being honest about your mental health. That's probably the best thing you can do for two reasons.
Yep.
One, it shows you're real, and it shows that you're not scared to talk about it.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to be human, like fucking like what Tyson Fury talked about on Joe Rogan. Like,
and
I don't know if
I don't think you're doing it for like sympathy either. I think you're generally just, you know, putting it all on the table. So that's good, man.
No, I mean, if anything, like, it makes me kind of seem like an underdog for like the first time in my life. Usually, like, I'm fucking high and flying high above everyone on my fucking magic carpet, and I'm fucking like the champ. And now, like, it shows a vulnerable side of Davin Aladdin. And
we've never seen that.
I'm really an underdog for like the first time in a long fucking time. Like, I feel like I'm fucking starting from nothing again. Like, I'm starting a fucking new era of my life. Like, when I had been hearing that mushrooms like affect your personality for like a year or two, even after you do them, like, it changes
right.
you. And it,
you
it definitely
also suffered an ego death.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying.
You definitely suffered an ego death, so that would explain a lot.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, a lot of it was like coming to terms with shit in my life that I didn't want to fucking come to terms with and that I had never even thought about. Like, I'm going to sound like a huge pussy here, but a lot of it was honestly dealing with like parents and shit. Because, like, when I was like, so I was born in fucking Walpole. I lived there until I was like fucking 5 or 6 years old, and then my parents got divorced, and I fucking went to go live with my mom in Stroxbury, and my dad went to, he got an apartment in Weymouth. He lived with my aunt for a bit in her basement, and then he fucking got a, he bought an apartment in, like, I guess a condo technically, in Weymouth, and lived there. And I didn't really have a good relationship with my dad for most of my life. Like, women are fucking evil. We did a whole podcast a while ago about how women are terrorists. And women are fucking evil, dude. And I, like, my mom basically convinced me for the majority of my life, and is still trying to. I haven't talked to her in a while, but she basically convinced me that my dad is, like, a loser. Everything she tell me is, your dad is a pathological liar, he's gay, you can't trust anything he says, don't listen to your dad. She told me that he didn't know how to read, he didn't graduate high school, and he's gay, and all three of those are lies. If he was gay, how would I be here, first of all?
It's
right.
funny
it goes
because
to fucking, all,
when I first met you,
yeah.
this is what you said about him. Circling back when I first met you, this is what you used to say about him all the time, too.
Yeah, I thought he was a huge fucking loser, dude. I just thought it was okay to treat my father like shit. Like, I really treated him like shit, like, the whole time I fucking lived with him. And when I started doing mushrooms and taking notes in my phone about how I felt, all of the things were that my mom makes me feel bad. Every time I talk to her, I feel like shit after. And that I've been way too mean to my dad my entire life. One day after doing mushrooms, I literally showed up at my dad's house fucking crying, apologizing for how mean I was to him, dude. I literally punched him in the face once and dropped him, dude. Like, my own dad, I fucking hit with a fucking haymaker one day and fucking dropped him. And I fucking still feel so bad about it. Like, it was not fucking right. You should not be treating your father like that. And it was like, it was just me coming to terms with a lot of this shit, with how mean I was to him. Like, the guy's done nothing but be nice to me and take care of me. I fucking lived with him for like 5 years, like, rent-free, maybe even more than that, from when I was like, yeah, from like when I was 21 to like 26, I think, I lived with him. And then I moved out and got my own place. And like, when I moved out and got my own place, my relationship actually got even kind of worse with him. Like, I remember when I was living with him, it was nice. Like, it was like nice, calm. Like, growing up in my mom's house was like really fucking hectic. And she married a, like, so one of the things I had to come to terms with is that my dad had been telling me forever that, like, my mom fucking had an affair when they were married, and she's not really a good person. And I was like, well, she says you're a pathological liar and I shouldn't believe anything you say. So I was like, all right, well, he, of course he's going to say this because he's a pathological liar and I shouldn't believe anything he says. And then I started putting two and two together and I realized, like, my Auntie Linda, God rest her soul, rest in peace, she was, like, the best person ever. And I remembered before she died, she told me that my dad and my stepfather are cousins, and what happened was very upsetting. So I started thinking about that, and then I started thinking about all the shit my dad told me about how he's worked in restaurants his whole life, and people, he knows everyone in the restaurant industry around here, and they were telling him that his wife had been in the restaurant with some fat fuck all, like, snuggled up on a, in a booth and shit, like, kissing up on him and shit. He told me crazy shit about how he caught her sneaking out naked in a fucking mink coat to go fuck this guy. And I started thinking about it, and I was like, it was kind of weird because while they were married, she was, like, bringing us over to this guy's house for pool parties. He came to, like, fix some shit in our backyard. And then way before they were married, he had asked her to marry him. She said no. They fucking both went their separate ways and got married and had kids. And then later on, they both started having an affair. And if you ask the ex-wife of my mom's husband, my stepdad, she'll tell you the fucking same exact thing, that they had a fucking affair. So I'm like, obviously, two people aren't lying. You know what I mean? Like, both of these other sides aren't lying. So I had to fucking come to terms with this shit. And I was, like, doing mushrooms, coming to terms with all this shit. And the fact that, like, before the pandemic, I was, like, just living my fucking life. Like, I was going to the gym. I was doing everything that I want to do, running my business, growing weed, having a good time. And then being forced to, like, sit inside for a year and think about shit, and then doing mushrooms on top of this, I was like, I have to deal with this because, like, I don't want to wait to deal with this until after my parents are dead. And then be like, who was lying, who was telling the truth. Like, I guess it's kind of, like, childish, but, like, and then, like, on top of this, my girlfriend is from the Philippines, and in the Philippines, they don't do divorce. Like, divorce is, like, completely foreign to them. So it was, like, a new perspective from her that, like, divorce is bad, and I started thinking about, like, how liberal the environment I was raised in really was. Like, my mom thinks, like, you know, she's a fucking Biden supporter, and everything she does is, like, super liberal. And I was like, I didn't really have much of a choice growing up. I was just forced to think that this situation is normal, having this fucking guy in my house who I never liked. Like, she would never apologize to me that, like, she ever did anything bad to my dad. Like, I started getting mad over the fact that, like, some of my friends have their grandmothers around, and they live in their house. And they, like, get to have a good relationship with their grandmother. My grandmother had put in a lot of money to buy the house that I lived in. Like, we were looking at houses, and my girlfriend said to me one day, we should try to buy the house that your parents had that you were born in. And I was like, that's pretty, that's a beautiful idea.
That'd be
and
sick.
I started looking up the house. Yeah. And then I started thinking about things, and I looked at, like, the timeline of the house, when it was bought, when it was sold. They bought it, like, I think when my mom was pregnant with me, and I started thinking about the memories I had there with my grandmother, and I started thinking about how she put down all this money to buy the house under the agreement that she was going to get to live in the basement for the rest of her life. And they were going to buy that house, and then I was going to be there with my mom and my dad and my sister and my grandmother in the basement, my aunt across the street. It was going to be like a nice fucking life. And then my mom decided she's going to go fuck my dad's cousin and then try to kick my fucking grandmother out of the house and my dad out of the house and then have this fat fuck and his fucking three kids with me.
Yep.
And that was fucking with me. Like, it wasn't sitting right with me. And then I fucking remembered one time when I was younger, like, it was after they were divorced, we go to my dad's house on weekends. And my mom had convinced me that my dad was, like, such a horrible guy, so I would go over his house and just be screaming that I want to kill him and I don't like him and giving him hell. And I was, like, 6, 7 years old, and I remember one time he fucking handed me a fucking big-ass knife and told me I could kill him if I wanted. And I was, like, thinking about that, and I didn't do it, obviously. And
see, that's grounds
like
right there to never send you to a loony bin.
Yeah, dude. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this, and I was like, she broke him. Like, he fucking was thinking he has a wife and kids and his mother downstairs, and then she made it so his mother had to go live in a fucking shitty old people home until she died. Like, she broke him. He didn't have a – he thought he was going to be able to take care of his mother for the rest of his life, and he couldn't. And he even did – he obviously, like, I don't know if he even wanted to fucking live anymore after that. I mean, he went through years of therapy himself, and he worked through it, and everything's good. But, like,
yeah.
in my mushroomed-out mind, I was like, I had the opportunity to kill someone, and I didn't do it, and now I have a kill left that I can use.
Mushrooms probably wasn't the best time to probably work through that shit, but it's a good thing
yeah.
you did.
it definitely wasn't the right idea. However, you know, here
it's
we are.
You did.
He learned.
Yeah. This is the most vulnerable I've ever been on a podcast. This is kind of
right,
weird
shit,
for me.
Dude, go change your tampon. Holy hell.
Well, here's the reality of it. This you, I know Dennis said he wasn't sure if he liked it. I prefer
yeah.
it because it's the most authentic version of you. This is the you that me and Dylan actually know.
Yeah, I
yeah,
don't really
man.
Mean it.
This is like,
I didn't mean it like that. I was just saying.
No, I know what
weird.
You meant, Dennis. No, I know what yeah. you meant. It wasn't like you were, like, taking a shot at him or anything. It was like,
right.
like it's totally different
yeah.
to see you be the authentic you.
Yeah.
And
nah,
there's nothing wrong with being vulnerable.
Fun.
Like, mushrooms will make you realize that, like, you ain't shit in the grand scheme of the universe.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, when you do acid is a good time. It's like, all right, cool, I'm in control, I can have fun with this. When you do mushrooms, it's like, nah, buckle up and enjoy the fucking ride.
Yep.
Yeah, like, I really felt like I was understanding how the universe worked. And, like, the day when everything came to fucking fruition, I had been, like, doing mushrooms, working through all this shit. And then my girlfriend was getting her citizenship, and we drove into Boston so she could get it, and we went to the fucking JFK building. And at the JFK building, they have a statue which commemorates JFK's fabulous war record. And it's like,
JFK, rest in peace.
Like, yeah, RIP, Jews killed him. And it's like I don't even know how to describe it. It's like, it looks like a fucking warthog, and like, it's like a cracked skull and a fish head combined. And then above it, there's like a cross. And I was like, I've been doing mushrooms. I thought the whole universe was kind of like about me, if that makes sense. And I looked at this statue, and in my mushroomed out mind, I was like, this statue is the fucking story of my life. Like, it's about me, because I make fun of my girlfriend because she, like, eats fish and is from the Philippines and likes Jesus a lot. And then I think I have a cracked skull because when I was younger, so, dude, like, when you do mushrooms, I think what it helps you go back to is, like, the most safe place in your life. And I started thinking
yep.
how living in that house with my parents was very safe, and I would have been a much happier person, less angry, and I would have, like, had a much easier life if that was the case. Because now I'm, like, looking at all my friends that have, like, big houses, and in the pandemic were able to go back and live with their family in a big, nice house, and I don't have any of this. And the reason I don't have any of this is because of what my fucking mother did. And then I started thinking about the time I got knocked unconscious and had blood coming out of my ears and my nose and my mouth, and I was, like, fucked up. And that was because when we lived in fucking Wistroxbury, my cousin was a crack baby. So he was, like, really small. And I used to, after my parents got divorced when I was, like, 6 or 7 years old, I didn't even, like, I never put two and two together, but I started thinking about it. I was, like, very angry. I turned into, like, a bully, and I was just beating the fuck out of all the other kids. Like, I used to just beat the fuck out of my friends. I used to beat the fuck out of any kids. When we moved to Needham, I would get into fights, like, every week. Till they prescribed me Adderall, and any time I wouldn't take the Adderall, it was like clockwork. I get suspended for punching a kid in the face. It was just like I was very angry, and I never understood why I was, like, so fucking angry. And anyway, cut to me and my cousin on the top bunk. He's a small little crack baby. He was probably, like, I don't know, 5 at the time. I was probably 7. And I was like, we should have a Royal Rumble. And whoever pushes the other one off the top bunk first wins. And before I could say go, he just fucking charged at me, and he pushed me off the top bunk. And I fucking flew off the top bunk and hit my fucking head and was knocked unconscious. I remember the fall. I don't remember hitting the ground. I just remember being in the air. And then I remember fucking waking up on my mom's bed later. And that's what I remembered. And, like, for some reason, the mushrooms made me start thinking about this incident and how, like, it wouldn't have happened if I'd still lived in the house in Walpole, and how that probably fucking fucked up my brain and gave me CTE. And when they arrested me, brought me to Looneyville, they asked me if I have CTE. And I was like, yeah, probably. And I've been hitting the head a good amount of times, and I fucking – that happened. And I started thinking about all this shit. So I looked at this statue – and I assumed that, like, the cracked skull was me and the fish head was my girlfriend. And, like, I looked at it and I was like, there were, like, 3 things holding it up. And I assumed that, like, those 3 things were, like, symbolic of not having 2 parents, but having my mom leave and get married to some other guy. And I was like, I was thinking like Joe Rogan kind of. I was like, this shit, like, made me stronger. Like, it made me one of the strongest people ever, but I didn't want it to happen. Like, I would rather have just lived a nice, easy life than have been through all the fucking bullshit I've been through and had to fucking deal with this. And it just made me pissed and enraged in the moment. So I started just fucking flipping out and said some shit I probably shouldn't have said. I think it was funny, but they didn't think
it was
too funny.
Yeah,
well, like, I started remembering, like, my Uncle Paul, Freddie's dad, the crack baby
Uncle
who I was
Paulie.
Talking about. Uncle Paulie. He was a fucking heroin addict. He spent a lot of his life in jail, but he was, like, I looked up to him a lot. And we used to hang out, and he'd smoke Newports on the front steps, and I would sit with him, and he would tell me stories about prison. He showed me Scarface when I was, like, 13. We watched Scarface together. Told him it wasn't violent enough for me, and he taught me a fucking lot. And I remembered that he said the best way to kill somebody was to put them in a wood chipper, feet first, and do it really slow and watch them die. So I figured since I didn't kill my dad, I had one kill left, and, like, I'd like to use it on my stepfather. So I was like, I would like to put him in a fucking wood chipper, feet first, and then, like how I said Scarface wasn't violent enough to my uncle, I was like, my uncle used to talk shit about him and his kids, and it was fucking hilarious. And I was like, Uncle Paul definitely knew what was up, and I didn't know what was up, because I didn't want to come to terms with it and think that my mom ever made a mistake. Like, she raised us thinking that she was, like, the fucking, like, perfect person. So I was like, I need to innovate Uncle Paul's idea. So I need to fucking put him in a wood chipper up to his waist and then cut his heart out of his chest and then eat it Khabib style. And she went and showed those texts to the fucking cops, and they came and arrested me. And also this started because during the pandemic, I didn't know where to turn. Like, I wanted to start going to church, but this fat fuck is the president of the fucking church. So I was like, pissed off that I was trying to deal with all this shit, and I wanted to go to church to fucking deal with it, and I couldn't go to the church because this guy's the fucking president of the fucking church, and, like, when this shit was going down with my parents, my dad would go to confession and fucking tell shit to the priest, and the priest would go tell it to him and my mom, which, like, I'm pretty sure that's not how fucking confession is supposed to work, and that's not
I'm pretty sure that's how a priest ends up going to hell, if you believe in that sort of thing.
Yeah. So that shit was really fucking pissing me off. And then they were making a fucking big deal of the wedding with the fucking Chinese bitch, and my mom had told me they go out to eat with Chinese diplomats and China this, China that. And I'm like, dude, all these people are evil. Like, the whole reason I'm coming to this fucking conclusion is I had to sit in my house for a year because of these fucking chinks, and then now you want me to go fucking kiss up to these fucking Chinamen and fucking be with you guys who I fucking hate. So I was just not very happy. And I really didn't think I did anything wrong because I wasn't really planning to hurt anybody. I didn't have any weapons. I wasn't planning to do anything. I was just talking shit. Like, we hadn't done the podcast for a while. I figured I can talk shit to my mom and, like, nothing should happen. So when the fucking cops came and arrested me the first time, I didn't think I had, like, done anything wrong. I was literally sitting in my apartment with a puppy, with a fucking, like, 9-week-old puppy coming to arrest some, like, murderous maniac, and they knock on my door, and I'm just sitting there chilling with a little puppy. I'm like, hey, what's up, guys? And they're like, yeah, like, we got to, like, take you into the station for a bit. And I was like, all right, like, you guys want to fucking chill here with the dog while we go handle this? Like, I don't know what's going on. And then they fucking bring me in the cop car. They held on the dog till my girlfriend went and got it. And they fucking take me in there. And I thought I was, like, getting out kind of soon. And that fucking didn't really happen. They fucking brought me to the fucking hospital, and then they, I don't know why they thought it was the best idea to have strictly Chinese people deal with me once they fucking brought me there. Like, that definitely didn't fucking help at all. So they fucking bring me to the hospital, and then they fucking have some pregnant Chinese bitch come in and tell me I smoke too much weed and I need to stop smoking weed. And I literally wanted to say, I'll rip that fucking baby out of your fucking stomach and eat it in front of you before I fucking stop smoking weed. And I didn't say that because I was trying to get out of there. I was just like, yeah, maybe. And then they have another fucking Chinese bitch come in and fucking tell me to get into bed. I was like, I'm not fucking listening to you. You're probably going to fucking take me back to China and test the next fucking coronavirus strain on me. So I didn't fucking get in the bed. I went back in the room, and then they have, like, 10 cops come in and fucking lift me in the air and fucking strap me to a bed by my fucking hands and feet and shove a fucking IV in me. And, like, I felt fucking violated, dog. Like, I'm the fucking champ. Like, nobody can fucking manhandle me. I box at the gym. I fucking do all this shit to be tough and not be fucking taken down. And then they just fucking came in and grabbed me and fucking had all them tie me down like it's fucking nothing. And I was like, dude, like, what the fuck is going on?
They're used to dealing with retard strength, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you were light work, bro. You were like, you were like the patient before lunch break, bro. They didn't even think about you. They're like, all right, let's bring this nigga to bed.
Yeah. So that shit happened, and then I'm there. They don't tell you when you're getting out. They don't tell you anything. This was, like, right around Cinco de Mayo. So I swear to God there were some, like, supernatural forces involved because it's right around Cinco de Mayo, and I'm out there saying I want to eat a human heart. And, like, I was just celebrating Cinco de Mayo. Like, I don't know what their fucking problem was. So they bring me there. They wouldn't let me watch the Canelo fight. I was fucking pissed. I was offering to pay to put the Canelo fight up on the TV so me and all the retards could watch it, and they were like, no. And then they tell me I can't get out unless I take these fucking pills. And I'm like, I don't want to take any fucking pills. Like, when they arrested me in 2012, I signed myself in. I was there for 5 days. They tell you, like, weekends don't count as days. You have to be there 3 days. So I was there for, like, 5 days, including the weekend. They didn't make me take any pills. I got out. I had weed like hidden in my truck for when I got out. I got out, smoked the weed, started hanging with Dylan. Everything was good. This time wasn't so fucking simple. This time they fucking kept me there for 2 weeks.
You got sectioned versus going involuntarily. That's the difference. When you go involuntarily, they won't give you pills unless you ask. You get sectioned, you can't do shit you can't leave until you follow their rules, which is trash.
Yeah. In fucking 2012, dude, when they fucking brought me there, I didn't know why I was getting arrested. I was sitting in the apartment, like, weighing out weed. And the cop comes and grabs me. It was a black cop. And I was like, why are you arresting me? And he was like, I can't tell you anything. I was like, if this is for weed, I'm using the weed for religious purposes, and I haven't done anything wrong. It's my religion. I'm Rastafari, Ali Selassie, praise Jah. I did nothing wrong. And they bring me there, and then I figure out what it was for. It was also for talking shit to my mom in 2012. It was because she kicked me out of the house. I got back from my fucking little adventure to fucking Ohio and North Carolina, chilling with hippies doing acid. I got back still tripping on fofos, and then I said some fucking wild shit, and then they fucking changed the locks on the house, kicked me out. I went to go live with my dad, and my mom had it out for my dad still at the time, as she does now. She was not happy that I was with my dad enjoying myself, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I was in a car with my friend Dan, and we were smoking blunts, driving around in his fucking shitty red Toyota Yaris. And my mom texted me. I had asked her to never contact me again, and she started hitting me up. And she was like, I want to make sure you're okay. And I knew they kicked me out for doing acid. And I know she's scared of bridges, and she's scared of doing drugs and thinking you can fly. So I texted her, and I was like, I just did some acid. I'm about to jump off a bridge. I was literally joking. Like, I never thought of suicide. I was just fucking with my mom. So I forgot I even sent the text message. And then they came and arrested me and brought me to the jail cell. And then the lady comes down with the papers, get the papers. And she was like, did you send a text to your mother saying I just did some acid, I'm about to jump off a bridge? I started cracking up. I was like, you cannot be fucking serious. This is why I'm here right now. I thought I was here for selling drugs. And they were like, no, like, we fucking bringing you here. And I was like, that's fucking bullshit. So I was fucking 2012. This time it was for fucking saying shit about my fucking stepfather. And like, I know it's fucking childish. Like, I'm fucking 30 years old. I shouldn't be worrying about this shit. I should be an adult and just like not be caring about it. But like, this is a fucking rough year, like the fucking pandemic, then doing mushrooms on top of it, then like coming to terms with this. Like, I really felt like this was something I needed to come to terms with, but I like couldn't come to terms with it because I couldn't believe that my mother made a mistake. And then, it just all hit me this year like a fucking wrecking ball. And that shit happened. They brought me there, and then I got out. After doing the pills, they fucking let me out. And the pills, the 3 days I was in there when I did the pills, I felt fine. The whole time I was in there, I felt fine. I was like, all these people are retards. I'm not a retard. I'm just going to walk around and talk to these retards and try to help them with their shit because there's nothing wrong with me. And then they let me out. Literally, my brain started melting. I got in the fucking car, and I couldn't even look at my cell phone. Like, it was all scrambled. I couldn't handle it. I got home. I fucking jogged to the gas station down the street, got some blunts, jogged home, and I just felt, like, so weird. Like, it was the weirdest fucking feeling of my life. Like, it felt like my brain was melting for a fucking week. I couldn't drive my car. It made it so, like, I couldn't sit down. Like, I couldn't lay in my bed. I couldn't sit in a chair. Everything just felt weird and uncomfortable. All I could do was, like, lay in the shower and pour water on my head. I was in the shower listening to podcasts on the speaker in there, and, like, it was Tim Dillon talking about how his mother is, like, schizophrenic and crazy. And I was like, is this me? Am I fucking crazy? Like, am I never going to live a normal life now? Am I fucking fucked up? Am I going to be stuck in a loony bin forever? And it was like a really rough couple weeks. I couldn't drive. That's why I went, like, as soon as I was able to fucking get on my feet again, I fucking went to the Tesla dealership and bought this fucking Tesla because I was like, at least this will fucking drive itself. And I can't fucking handle driving. Like, I drove to Aaron's house one day to make swords. I had to pull over every fucking 5 to 10 minutes and get out and stretch my legs because it was, like, too much. Like, it was literally the most pain I've ever been in my life. And it was all because of the fucking shit they gave me. Like, my dad went, picked up the medication from CVS and threw it all in the trash. He looked at what it was. He was like, yo, this is not good. Like, you should not be fucking taking these. I was like, yeah, I don't want to fucking take them. Like, it was fucked up, man. And then I finally started, like, getting back on my feet, like, feeling good again, running my business, selling weed, doing the podcast. I think we did, like, one episode. And then, like, I was just fucking pissed that they fucking did that to me. And I was like...
Okay, so real quick, not to cut your story off, but I feel like I need to give you some free game so this doesn't happen to you again. Because from what it sounds like, anytime you, like, start coming off at the mouth, your mom decides it's time to put you in a mental home, which, frankly, isn't cool.
Yeah.
How you're going to avoid that is by legally naming your father as your medical proxy.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, your mother has no say. All you have to say is call my medical proxy. I have one for this specific purpose.
Yeah,
and they will call your proxy, and your dad will talk to them and be like, yeah, no, she's tripping, let him out.
Yeah, the whole time I was in Pembroke, they just kept telling me I'm lucky that my dad's my dad, because my dad was trying to get me out the whole time, calling all types of lawyers, and then I got out, literally when I was fucked up on all those pills, when I got out, my mom showed up at my apartment and started screaming at me. She was like, look at you, you're a mess, you can't even walk straight, do you know when you were younger, I came to see you play T-ball, and your father had you in the car because it was too hot out, and he was like, he didn't want you out there playing T-ball. He's like, I'm fucking 30, and you're in my apartment screaming at me about fucking T-ball. Like, are you fucking serious right now, bitch? Like, dude, it was fucked up. And then she starts asking me why I don't like it in there and why I don't want to go back. I was like, are you serious right now? Why don't I want to be locked in a fucking mental institution? Like, are you fucking kidding me right now? So, I was getting pissed, dude. I was pissed they fucking did it to me. I was pissed they put me in there. I was pissed they made me take the pills. I was pissed they arrested me. I was pissed about all that shit. And I was like, I don't want them thinking I'm a fucking weak retard. I want them to fear me. Like, they need to fear me, and they need to know that I don't fuck around. So I just kept talking shit. I was like, I'm not going to just stop now. They didn't win. Like, so, like, one of my stepdad's kids has a gun. So I started talking shit to him on Snapchat, sending him snaps for me in the sauna. I was like, nice gun, you fucking pussy. I'll kick your fucking ass still. Why don't you fucking bring it here and see what the fuck happens? And I was just going off. And I posted something about him being in ISIS because, like, he was at a fucking Amtrak station once, and they came over to him with, like, bomb-sniffing dogs and shit and were, like, searching him, thinking he's a terrorist. He looks like a fucking terrorist. So I was like, I'm going to help out Homeland Security here. And, let them know this guy's in fucking ISIS. So I started filing a report to Homeland Security, posted online he's in fucking ISIS, and next thing I know, I'm sleeping in the morning, and fucking cops are at my door, asking my girlfriend if I have a gun, and arresting me again, and bringing me to the station. And I assume they know I'm not doing anything wrong, and that I'm hilarious, and I'm like, maybe if I can make these cops laugh and get them on my side, they'll just let me go. So I get in the back of the cop car, and I say, hey, guys, just for the record, I think George Floyd was a criminal. And the cop was just like,
that's hysterical.
All right.
My my dad got into a wreck with his motorcycle, and he was wearing a shirt that said "Shut up, Karen" when the cops showed up. One of the cops out. It was hysterical. It was one of the female cops too.
And I'm like, I was like, dude, like, are they really fucking with me right now? Like, so I got in the jail cell, and I have an uncle that's in the CIA, and I assumed maybe he could get me out of this. And he was there. I don't know if I should be, like, spilling out CIA secrets on a podcast, but
right.
I have a distant uncle who was there when they killed Pablo Escobar. He was, like, there. His son told me about it. He told me he was up on a pole when they killed Pablo Escobar. So I assumed he was, like, doing lookout for them or something when they killed Pablo. So I got in the jail cell, and I was, hey, like, fuck you, you fucking cops. Why don't you fucking go ask Uncle Carl about Area 51 and who killed Pablo Escobar? Like, why do you fucking have me in here? I didn't fucking do anything wrong. And in the same fucking routine, they fucking bring me to the fucking institution in fucking Dorchester. And, like, this place was fucking weird, dude. Pembroke was, like, somewhat, like, I don't want to say normal, but it was, like, not, like, it wasn't, like, fucking, like, as weird as Dorchester was. Like, Dorchester was not, like, a fun experience. Like, I really thought that they were, like, going to fucking kill me in there. Because everybody was talking about how the week before they choked a kid to death in the emergency room. And then everyone working there was, like, fucking African. And none of them are, like, speaking English. They're all fucking speaking in African. And one of the fucking African dudes' wives was in there. She had, like, just had a kid. I don't know what she did to get sent there, but she was in there. She looked kind of like the fucking African lady from the fucking Key and Peele movie with the fucking, like, the haunted family. Not Get Out, the other one. You know which one I'm talking about?
I think so.
But anyway, she started asking me if I've been to Africa. And I was like, no, I haven't been to Africa, but I fucked a chick from Malawi once. And she thought it was very funny. She was laughing. And then she asked me my name. And I told her my name is Joseph. And she was like, Joseph like Jesus? And I was like, yeah, like the father of Jesus, I guess. Like, and then I went outside, and I was like sitting down outside. And she comes up to me, and she was like, do you know that right here is where Joseph was sitting when he created the universe? And I was like, I'm pretty sure the universe wasn't created from fucking Dorchester, but sure, like, whatever. And the place was, like, mad fucking religious. Like, I swear, like, the whole time I was in there, they were, like, trying to convince me that I'm God. Like, it was fucking weird, dude. And then they asked me what food I wanted, and I wrote down what I wanted. I wanted, like, Uncrustables and some other shit. Like, I just wrote down all, like, the packaged foods because I didn't want them giving me any food that, like, maybe had medicine in it. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do. And they didn't give me any of the food I asked for. And then one night in there, I was fucking went to go sleep, and I had a dream that I was in a cemetery and that a fucking cat jumped on my head and tried to pull me into the ground. And then I, like, got up and I told someone someone about the dream I had. And then they fucking immediately took me and locked me in the fucking quiet room. And there was wrappers of all the food I asked for. And I was like, are they about to fucking kill me in here and then say that I, like, freaked out or did something and they needed to kill me? Like, it fucking really freaked me out, dude. And then the shit happened with them fucking telling me I needed to take a pill, and then I took the pill, and they told me I wasn't supposed to take it, and then my dad came to get me. They told him they weren't letting me out, and he needed to come back later, and he was like, fuck you. I'm fucking here to get him out. And then they fucking let me out with him. And the two people that told me I wasn't supposed to take the pill fucking came down in the elevator with us. It was just, like, fucking weird. And they let me out, and, like, I literally felt like my brain was melting again. And I was like, I'm not going to go through the fucking pain that I went through last time of sitting in the apartment for a week and fucking just, like, not being able to walk. I was like, I need to fucking deal with this. So I started eating a bunch of candy that my girl had at the apartment because I know sugar makes your body process shit faster. So I ate a bunch of candy. I was still fucking feeling weird. And I had an appointment at Duke University in a few days to go see the fucking lemurs, my beloved lemurs that I talked about so much on this fucking podcast. And I was supposed to drive down with my girl and the two dogs. And, like, I woke up the day we were supposed to leave, and I was like, all right, it's time to fucking go see the fucking lemurs. And she was like, I'm not ready to go yet. Like, can we go, like, later? Like, either the next day or that night. And, like, I was still fucked from the medicine they gave me. And, like, I couldn't process fucking – they also gave me a fucking shot when I was in there, which I thought was the vaccine. I found out later it was an antipsychotic shot. That definitely didn't help. Like, you do fucking mushrooms and you want to be, like, free and, like, one with fucking nature. You know what I mean? And to fucking be feeling that and then be fucking held down against your will and have shit injected in you is just going to fuck with you more and then give you pills and shit like that. Like, it's not fucking good. Anyway, I couldn't fucking process getting my girlfriend and the fucking dogs in the car and driving down there. So I just got in the car and I dipped by myself. I went, I charged the fucking Tesla, and then I just fucking started driving down to North Carolina. And I had fucking time to spare. So I was like, driving through North Carolina, it didn't take me that long to get there. I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to keep going. So I just kept fucking driving. I fucking smoked 3 packs of cigarettes, and I got down to Jacksonville in 12 hours. No sleep, only stopping to charge, just ripping butts, driving down the fucking highway. The plan was to go see Kent and then go see Dylan and then go see Tripp. We were going to go play with Tripp's guns, fucking maybe hang out with Kent, go see Dylan. And I got to Jacksonville, and then I realized Florida is a little bit bigger than I expected, and I'm not going to be able to get to see any of them if I want to make it to my appointment with the fucking lemurs. So got to Jacksonville. I stopped at a fucking Wawa, got a fucking sandwich, and then I fucking turned around, and I fucking went back. I stopped in Georgia, and I tried to sleep in Georgia, and, like, dude, I was so fucked up from, like, being arrested and everything. Like, I really thought, like, I couldn't stay at a hotel for too long because, like, I was going to get – they were going to come get me there or something like that. Like, I was fucked up, dude. So I stayed in Georgia for a few hours at a hotel, tried to take a little nap, got back in the car, drove back fucking Northmore, stayed somewhere else, and then eventually I went to North Carolina and hung out with the fucking lemurs. And then I fucking, yeah, fucking drove back up here. And I thought the fucking, like, worst was over. But, like, I was still fucking, I guess I was going through my ego death, as Ernesto called it. Like, the first time I got out, when I got out of Pembroke, I got back to my apartment.
Bro, that's actually a term. I didn't make it up. That's, like, a legitimate term.
Yeah. No, I feel you. Like, when I got home from Pembroke, I just started fucking throwing shit out in my fucking apartment. Like, I tried to water my plants. And then the whole time I was in the cop car, the cops were asking me about my electric bill and growing weed. So I was like, are the cops going to come arrest me next for fucking growing all this weed in my apartment? Like, what the fuck is going on? And I couldn't even handle watering my plants. Like, I would try to start loading up the fucking watering bin with the fucking nutrients, and, like, it was too much for me to fucking handle, dude. Like, I couldn't handle it, so I just fucking threw all my weed shit in the trash. I threw out the last plant. I threw out, like, fucking everything. all my weed grown besides the lights, which is the most expensive part. So it's good I didn't fucking get rid of those.
Oh, phew.
But,
that's good.
Yeah, that was when I got out the first time. Then when I got back from the little fucking road trip, I just, like, started throwing other shit in my apartment away. Like, my apartment was so cluttered because it's a fucking one-bedroom apartment, and it's me, my girl, two cats, and two dogs. And the apartment was fucking filled with shit because for the last year, I had just been sitting in my apartment loading it up with shit. There was really nowhere to walk in the apartment. It was just wires, microphones, tables, computers, a weed tent. Like, there was literally nowhere to walk. And, like, I felt like I couldn't fucking think in this fucking apartment. Like, I felt like I couldn't think in the apartment. I couldn't walk in the apartment. I felt like I was, like, trapped inside a fucking computer. And I had been trapped inside there for a fucking year with fucking coronavirus shit. And it was like, I felt like I needed to fucking free up space in this fucking apartment so I had room to walk and room to, like, do stuff. So I literally fucking threw away, like, I would look at something and be like, this is fucking stupid. Why do I have this? I don't fucking need this. Like, I threw away my fucking Jordans. I threw away my old PlayStation with the VR shit. Threw away my old Xbox. And, yeah, I got rid of fucking everything. Now I wish I didn't get rid of it. I wish I just, like, moved it to my dad's house and kept it there. But at the time, like, I wasn't fucking thinking clearly. I was just thinking all these material possessions are stupid, and I need to fucking get rid of them. And, like, I started thinking, like, some of the food in the apartment was, like, not good or, like, poison. Like, it was not a fucking healthy mindset. Like, it was fucking bad. And I just, for a few days, I was just walking back and forth to the dumpster, just fucking throwing shit out. And then there's this fucking, I don't know how much of these stories I should fucking get into on here, but
motherfucker, you're halfway through the bullshit. You might as well keep going.
Yeah, yeah. So then I tried fucking smoking weed again, and it was not good. Like, I had a bunch of weed and dabs in my apartment, and I would fucking start smoking the weed. Like, I was playing Xbox one night with my plug and his friend, and we play Madden. Like, we always run a team together, the three of us in Madden Superstar KO. And, like, I tried doing a dab like I usually do and playing with them, and, like, I did it, and, like, I couldn't even fucking talk after. Like, I felt like I was going to fucking puke. Like, it was so bad. Like, I started thinking, like, are these dabs, like, is he trying to poison me with these dabs? Are these dabs CRC? Is this shit, like, not good?
Probably.
Is he trying, like, I was fucked up, dude. I started fucking smashing my rigs, throwing dabs in the trash, weed in the fucking trash. Like, I was bugging, dude. And, then one night, fucking smoked weed in my apartment, and I fucking opened the door to the apartment to go outside, and I just puked all over the hallway. And I started thinking that, like, I had demons inside of me, and that puking was like an exorcism, like some fucking exorcist shit. And, like, I was fucking puking out my fucking demons. And I was, I don't know if the weed is laced with fentanyl. I don't know what the fuck is going on. And then I know this bitch who's a fucking psychiatrist or therapist, whatever. She wanted to fuck me for a long time. I never fucked her, and I don't have a desire to fuck her. I didn't want to do anything, and I was talking to her as friend, and she was like, you should come trade me some weed, and I'll give you therapy sessions. And I was like, all right. So I started fucking hanging out with her and fucking smoking weed, and we would just smoke bowls and talk about shit. And then she fucking texted me. It was on, like, September 11th. And she texted me and said that the weed I gave her made her puke and something about a fucking death sentence. And I know that her fucking dad's a cop. And as soon as she said death sentence to me, in my fucking spun-out mind, I was like, does she think I'm trying to kill her with fentanyl, and now they're going to fucking kill me? So I fucking smashed my cell phone and I threw my fucking computer in a fucking river, which was probably the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life, because now I can't get into my old Gmail account. And it was fucked up. And I thought it was all like part of the plan and I didn't do anything wrong. And kept fucking hanging. And then I, like, maybe like a week later, I get my fucking cell phone back. And then I fucking go to hang out with her again. And we're fucking hanging out, smoking weed. Like, we're just smoking bowls and driving around and talking about shit. And then she fucking forgets her fucking wallet in my car. And I'm pretty sure she forgot it in there on purpose because she wanted me to fucking come back. And I fucking... So that happens at night. We're chilling, smoking weed. And then the fucking next day, I fucking text me in the morning. She's like, I need my wallet before I go to church. I was like, all right, I'll bring you your fucking wallet. So I tell my girl that I was selling someone weed the night before, and I need to go bring them their fucking wallet. So I fucking hop in the car, drive to her place, give her her wallet. And as she's walking away, she just had a really nice looking ass. Like, she had on these fucking tight yoga pants and her ass was looking very nice. So I got home and she started flirting with me in the text, and I said I wanted to grab her ass. And then I didn't think anything of it. Next day, I fucking wake up in the morning, my girl standing over my bed like fucking Karen in Goodfellas, like just looking at me. She didn't have done, but she might as well have. And I fucking look at her, and I'm like, love you, babe. And she's like, you don't love me. Who's the girl's name, which I won't mention on the podcast. And I'm like, she's just a therapist, like Tony Soprano. I'm like, she's just a therapist. She's like, oh, yeah, therapy, talking about her ass. You're like, blah, blah, you don't love me. And then she takes all her shit and fucking moves out. And it was... not really what I fucking needed. Like, on top of everything I was fucking dealing with, then to fucking deal with that. So, that happens. And then...
Dude.
It was fucking hectic.
Yeah, yo, and then, Dennis, you told me this story the other day while I'm trying to go grocery shopping, and I just had to leave the store without my carriage. I was like, damn, nigga, I need to talk to you.
Yeah. Wow.
So then, while she had broken up with me, my girlfriend, like, broke up with me technically for, like, a few days. She went to go live in a fucking hotel and, like, was paying mad money to be there and shit. I didn't know if she's going to come back or not. So I went and I liked one of my ex's pictures on Instagram. She was fucking, she was, like, 19, 20 when we dated. It was, like, a few years ago. And I went and liked a couple of her pictures. That's all I did. And then after my girl got back with me, this girl starts fucking messaging me and tells me that I'm the best sex she's ever had. I give the best head. I'm so good at eating pussy, the best. And she can't listen to Drake without thinking about me, and that she wants to see me again. And, like, dude, I had a fucking mental breakdown and got brought to a fucking loony bin, and I get out, and all these bitches still want to fuck me. So, like,
right.
Even though I'm fucking crazy, like, I'm still, like, bitches still want to fuck me, which is mind-blowing to me. Like, they all know I'm fucking crazy, and they all still want to fuck me. And I'm like, at least I'm good at something, you know what I mean? Like, so, this is fucking... This was like, I didn't know what to do. I was excited she hit me up because I hadn't talked to her in so long. And it was pretty good sex. So I was like, I kind of want to fuck her again. But I didn't. I deleted the conversations with her. And then I was just texting my boys about it. I was texting, like, one of my boys I've known since we're in diapers because, I trust him with shit. I was telling him. And then one of my friends from the gym, this Cape Verdean kid, super religious kid. He's become, like, one of my best friends over the last year because, like, when I got out of Pembroke, I was, like, on my helping people shit because I was, like, trying to talk to people and help them in there. And I got out. I went to Wegmans to get some food, and I saw him there, and he was, like, fucking heartbroken over a girl that left him. And he was, like, telling me about how she left him and how he really wants her back, and she broke his fucking heart, and she's who he's supposed to be with, and, like, that's what God wants, and, like, he has her name. He has a tattoo with them on it, and, like, he just wants – he's young, but he, like, wants to be with her so bad. I was like, I got to help this kid. So, like, honestly – what had helped me come to this whole revelation over this last year is I started thinking about something that my friend Yashar told me. My friend Yashar, rest in peace, died of a brain tumor in like 2016 maybe. He was going to get his license at the DMV. He had a seizure, told him he had a brain tumor, needed to get surgery every 3 years for the rest of his life. I think he got like 2 or 3 surgeries. Then it started growing too much. They couldn't save him. I had to watch this kid slowly die over these years, and it, like, fucked me up more than anything, dude. Like, I fucking love this kid, and, like, he was my boy. He was, like, my right-hand man. He was, like, my bodyguard. Like, anytime I was fucking selling weed or doing anything sketchy, I always brought him with me because he knew how to fucking talk to cops. He yelled at cops once for interrupting me for getting head from my girlfriend at the time. I was getting dome in a parking lot. Cops came, made me leave. Then next time we were somewhere, cops started giving us shit, and he was yelling at the cops like, hey, you fucking interrupted this kid while he was getting head from his girlfriend in the parking lot? What are you guys fucking doing? Leave him alone. I was like, dude, this kid is the fucking man. One time these kids robbed me. He went up to their fucking window, started banging a knife on their window, telling them, get the fuck out of the car. Like, you do not want to fuck with Yash, dude. He was a fucking G. And I was coming to terms with all this shit my mother did in the past, and I just remembered what Yash told me once. One time, Yash told me, hey, guy, even your own mother was a whore at one point. And I started thinking about what Yash told me, and I was like, Yash was a fucking prophet, dude. Like, he fucking knew. He knew that my mom was a whore, and Yash was ahead of his fucking time, and he fucking knew everything. And I started thinking about that, and this kid was so sad over his girlfriend. I was like, the only thing I can tell you, bro, is that even your own mother was a whore at one point. And he was like, dude, that doesn't help. Like, I'm trying to get my girl back. You're telling me my mother was a whore once, too? I'm like, hey, dude, that's all I fucking got for you, man. I don't know what else you want me to say. That's my words of wisdom. Even your mother was a fucking whore once. That's all I got for you, bro. And, like, we've been hanging. Anyway, I fucking deleted the conversation with the bitch, my ex, that was trying to get the dick again. And I thought I was in the clear. And then I'm in the shower on my fucking birthday. The day before my birthday, my girl's about to take me out.
Oh, shit. Can you guys hear me? Oh, hang on. Put it. Hang on. Fucking. Hang on. You guys hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's going to hook back up to the Tesla or not. But, yeah, so day before my birthday, I'm in the fucking shower getting ready to go out to eat, and then I get out, and my girl's fucking crying again. She's like, we should just break up. I'm like, what the fuck happened while I was in the fucking shower? Are you serious? And she was like, you're still talking to your ex? Like, oh, blah, and I was like, How did you fucking know this? Did she fucking message you? Like, I don't know what the fuck happened. I assumed that maybe this bitch messaged her because she was, like, jealous and wanted to get back with me. So maybe she, like, sent her some fucking screenshots or something. And turns out she fucking went. Dude, this is why you can never cheat on an Asian, dude. They're too smart. She fucking went. And she went on my Facebook. And she saw that I searched this girl's name. So then she went into my messages and searched the fucking girl's name. And then she saw the whole conversations with me and my friends talking about how I want to bang this bitch again. And it was, like, pretty graphic conversation. And, like, one of my friends was on the verge of breaking up with his girlfriend. So he was trying to convince me that I should just leave my girlfriend, too. And, like, we'll go bang bitches together and shit.
And, like, she saw all that, and she was, like, she was fucking done with me. If it wasn't my birthday, she'd still be done with me. And, like, some people are telling me that I need to reconsider my relationship status, and obviously I'm not cut out to be in a relationship because I'm a fucking pig. And, like, I'm not, like, I am, I fucking love my girlfriend, dude. Like, if I didn't have her right now, I'd have fucking nothing. And she fucking does everything for me, dude. Like, she's literally nice. Like, I was on the phone with Kent for 2 hours the other night, and all Kent was fucking telling me is how lucky I am that I have her, and how he wishes he could be my age and have a girlfriend like mine, and how all I need to be focused on is making memories with my girlfriend, and that's what really matters. And I'm so fucking lucky to have her. And then this shit fucking happened, and I was like, dude, this fucking can't be happening to me. And I'm just not used to having a girl go through my shit. I'm used to just fucking talking like I'm on a fucking podcast all the time. You know what I mean? And saying just fucking graphic shit. And hang on. Is this shit fucking connected now? Yeah,
it is.
All right. Yeah, fucking back to the talk. So I'm basically lucky I got out of those fucking situations scot-free. And I'm fucking sorry to my girlfriend. I'm not sorry to anybody I threatened to kill. And I'm just more pissed that they fucking did that to me. But I did have an ego death. I did reach enlightenment. And I'm going to spark up another cigar for this fucking home stretch right here. Because I got this is like the story that I've been leading up to this whole time. So after I throw all my shit in the dumpster, after I do all that shit, one night I got back from North Carolina, and I was feeling like on top of the world after I did all this shit. I was like, I went through my ego death. I felt like the fucking universe revolves around me and I'm the king. And I was like, I'm the fucking shit. Like, when I was like on this fucking trip, I was like buying fucking sandals and like wearing them and then like throwing them out in different locations. Like, I thought that, like, I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. I thought that, like, shit was more valuable after I wore it because, like, I'm the fucking man and I figured something out. So, like, I was throwing shit away. I was doing everything. And then, I don't know what made me do it, but I had a genius idea that I needed to go leave my Make America Great Again hat at for Tom Brady because I knew he was coming back into town for his game. And I was like, obviously I'm more important than Tom Brady, so Tom Brady would probably like to have something of mine. So I drove through Gillette, and I was going to go leave my MAGA hat at Tom Brady's store and shoot him a message that I hope he gets it. And I fucking got really close, and then a security guard came over and told me it was like midnight and I wasn't allowed to be there. So I drove as close to the store as I could get, and then I jumped out and I left my fucking MAGA hat on a little fucking pole near Tom Brady's TB12 store. And then I fucking shot Tom Brady a fucking Instagram message and let him know that I'm the fucking champ, and I left him my MAGA hat, and I hope someone gets it for him. And I didn't think anything else of it. I figured I was doing a good deed. And then, maybe like a fucking week or so later, it's really late at night, and this is why I don't know, like, why this fucking happened, or, like, what the how I got this item, this gift that's part of the death and rebirth in the hero's journey. And so when I had fucking gone to the Mafia Museum in Las Vegas, they serve Voss water there. So, like, Voss water became my shit. Like, all I try to drink now is Voss water because it's Mafia water. And I'm trying to be in the Mafia, so I'm all about the Mafia water. So they serve it at the gas station near my house. They have it there. So it was late at night, and I was going to get a pack of cigarettes and a fucking Voss water. And also, let me tell you, also part of this story is I fucking ordered – I went to the Mafia Museum. They got a Where is Jimmy Hoffa sticker on display there. And I was like, I want a fucking Where is Jimmy Hoffa sticker. So I ordered this place to make me the Where is Jimmy Hoffa bumper stickers, just like the ones in the Mafia Museum. And in the movie, they say Jimmy Hoffa got cremated right after they whacked him. And then that's what it says in his bodyguard's book, who says he fucking killed him also. And that's the story they have. But if you listen to other people, other Mafia guys, like articles the Mafia Museum has published, and like Michael Francesi says on YouTube, they claim that he's buried somewhere wet, like under a sanitation place in New Jersey, something like that. And also, sometime in this period, I had also left the Godfather a voicemail demanding that him and Vince McMahon allow Enzo Amore back into WWE. So I've been going wild. I've been talking shit to Tom Brady, talking shit to Godfather Vince McMahon, and ordering items that were on display in the Mafia Museum. So there's three possible explanations for this, which I don't know if any of them are true or what the deal is. But anyway, fast forward to me at the gas station. It's late at night. I pull up to Mobile to go in, get a pack of cigarettes, and get a Mafia water. That's the fucking game plan. That's what I'm trying to do. I pull up. This fucking old dude pulls up. He looks like fucking Whitey Bulger. Not even kidding. This guy looks like Whitey Bulger. He might be Whitey Bulger. And also, the therapist bitch I was seeing, I had been talking to her a lot about Jimmy Hoffa. I was telling her, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what the deal is, if the movie's true or not. Anyway, go to the gas station to get my fucking Mafia water and my pack of fucking cigarettes. Pull up. I'm wearing a Patriots hat my dad got me. It's like a nice blue and red Patriots hat. This old dude looks like Whitey Bulger, pulls up. He's wearing all blue and red, like it matches my hat perfectly. And he looks at me and he tells me he's a war veteran and that he really likes my hat. And I was like, dude, you're a war veteran. You can have the hat. I give him the hat. He goes, I have something for you too. He was like, all right. Then he fucking opens his trunk. In his trunk, there's a fucking walker, like an old people walker. He's an old guy. He pushes the walker aside. And from behind the walker, he pulls out a fucking staff. And he fucking hands me the staff. And he tells me, because you have this, nobody can fuck with you. And he pulls it out and he goes, oh, yeah, it's real. Because you have this, nobody can fuck with you. And that's what he fucking said to me. And I was like, sweet. I fucking go and put the staff in my car, and then I go in the gas station, get my cigarettes, my fucking Mafia water. While I'm in the gas station, he tells me three things. He tells me he served in Africa and shot a bunch of monkeys. In my message to Tom Brady, I told him I was the king of fucking lemurs. Not fucking lemurs, but I was the king of lemurs. So I don't know if that had something to do with it. He tells me he served in Africa, shot a bunch of monkeys. He told me he likes to eat his wife's asshole. And he told me I bought a pack of Parliaments. And he said, oh, Parliaments, that's good stuff. Watch out for Paul Malls that killed my father. Which is kind of funny because fucking Dylan smokes Paul Malls, don't you, Dylan?
I smoke Camels. My dad smokes Paul Malls. I'm telling him he needs to
get
those cheap.
And Paul Malls were the infamous Iowa incident cigarettes, too. So, there's that.
What's the Iowa incident?
You don't remember the weird motherfucker that kicked him out of his house after having him move in because he like, borrowed a couple squares?
Oh, Lee Pierre Paul Malls. Holy shit. So, anyway, this is what happened at the fucking gas station, dude. The veteran... The gas station and the staff. He hands me the staff at the gas station. I don't know what the – I just looked at it. I thought it was a staff. It had a fucking gold thing on top that looks like a fucking acorn. So I'm just like, sweet, this guy gave me – he seemed like he was there for me, like he had followed me there or he knew what was up with me. He gave me his fucking staff. So he gives me the fucking staff, and then I fucking take it home, and I realize that what's on top is actually an urn. Like, it was a fucking urn on top. Dylan, cue the dead motherfucker music. This dude literally handed me a dead motherfucker at a gas station. I'm literally pulled to a gas station to get cigarettes, and this guy literally just handed me a dead motherfucker at a gas station.
Dead motherfucker that.
He hands me a dead motherfucker at a fucking gas station.
What the hell? It's dead wrong.
DMF. It's under DMF.
Oh, there it is.
Dead motherfucker this. Dead motherfucker that.
Exactly.
Dead motherfucker that.
So, as soon as I realized there was an urn on top, I had three guesses to who it was. I was like, This has to be somebody that I'm a big fan of. So my top three guesses were either Chris Benoit, Jimmy Hoffa, or Hitler. I was like, I don't know who's in this fucking staff, but if I had to guess, it's either Chris Benoit, Jimmy Hoffa, or Hitler. So I assumed that it's because I was talking shit to Godfather and Vince McMahon and that they knew my famous StarCast incident because I had mailed Godfather a Band from AEW shirt, and he also told me that my song was good shit, the Warthog song, because Tom says a line about Undertaker, then I say a line about Godfather, and then I say something about executing the head of China and then raping his daughter and throwing her off a bridge tied up with sharks in the water. And
nice.
Godfather really liked it. Yeah. So I assume this had to do with that and that they knew I was trying to get an urn autographed by Undertaker and that it didn't work out because he wasn't allowed to go to StarCast. So maybe they sent me the gift of Chris Benoit's ashes. This is what I had assumed. And for like 3 days, I drove around with his staff listening to Chris Benoit's theme song and telling everybody I had Chris Benoit and his staff. And after a few days, I started getting a little bit creeped out because I was thinking that nobody really told me what was in this staff. And this could just be a crazy old guy at a gas station. And I don't know what the fuck's in the urn. I don't know if it's a dead person. I don't know if it's anthrax. My girlfriend thought there was possibly hard drugs in it and somebody was trying to set me up. And the cops were going to come again and tell me I had something in there and they were going to arrest me for it. And I started getting kind of creeped out. I had it in my closet, and every time I opened my closet to get dressed, I was looking at a fucking urn. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck's in this fucking urn, dude. It's a fucking dead person, and I don't know who the fuck it is. Like, it was fucking creepy. So one night, my girlfriend also wouldn't stop whistling. I don't know why she started fucking doing this. I don't know if it's because of dogs, but her family is, like, really into dead people. Like, when they eat, they, like, leave a dish out as a sacrifice for dead people. So, like, there's always spirits with them. And then, like, so they're doing the dead people sacrifices, and she's, like, whistling, and I'm playing Chris Benoit's theme song, and, like, I really felt like we awoke some demon in there. And I'm looking at the staff. I don't know what the fuck's in there. I smoke a little bit of weed. I lay down to go to bed, and I start hearing a fucking voice in my head. And the voice in my head is saying, my head's on a pole. My head's on a pole. My head's on a pole. I'm trying to fucking lay down and sleep. I just keep fucking hearing this voice in my head. Say, my head's on a pole. My head's on a pole. And I fucking hit up my dad. I was like, Dad, I don't know what the fuck is in this staff, but I'm pretty sure it's haunted. And my dad was like, throw it in the fucking trash and stop talking to strangers at gas stations. It was like, yeah, it's probably a good call, Dad. So
that's
I
solid advice
from
the old man.
That's good
yeah.
advice.
Yeah.
like this is more reason why I think your dad just needs to be in charge of anything that involves your mental health. Let that dude
yeah.
grab the ship.
Yeah. He was like, I texted Godfather. I was like, yo, Godfather, I need some advice. An old guy just handed me an urn at a gas station, and I don't know what the fuck to do with it. You're fucking Papa Shango. Like, what the fuck would you do, dude? And then he didn't respond. And I texted him again. I was like, my dad says to throw it out. I'm throwing it out. Got to do what my dad says. So I fucking put it in the dumpster, and I, like, sat there like a fucking frightened kid, and I fucking watched the dumpster until the fucking cops came and fucking – not cops, until the fucking dumpster people came and took it away, and I made sure it was gone. And, like, I still keep thinking I'm going to open my door and the staff's just going to be at my door. And, like, it's going to haunt me forever. Like, I don't know what the fuck was in there, dude.
Yeah,
but
that's
now,
some weird
like,
shit.
I keep thinking about it, and I keep thinking, like, I shouldn't have thrown it away. Like, what if that was, like, my entrance to the mafia? Or what if, like, he really said nobody could fuck with me because I had it. And then all of a sudden, like, news started popping up of people robbing banks in Boston again, like in the movie The Town and all this shit. I was like, what if that staff really meant I can do whatever I want and I could rob banks and kill people now and just play GTA in real life, and now I can't do it because I threw the fucking staff away? Like, am I dumb for getting rid of that staff? Like, I don't know. But I'll tell you that I'm pretty sure there was ashes in that urn. And I'm pretty sure whoever ashes it was fucking murdered or killed themselves and their whole family or did the Holocaust. And I don't know, like, what the fuck was in there, dude. But I know it was some fucking spirits attached to that fucking staff. And I know that they didn't want to be in my apartment or they were fucking with me. Like, I don't know what the fuck was in there. Like, in my closet, I had a fucking Jimmy Hoffa shirt and I had a Chris Benoit shirt. And I just kept looking at both the shirts being like, is one of these motherfuckers in this fucking staff? And then I started hearing the voices heavy that night saying, my head's on a pole, my head's on a pole. And I texted my dad, and my dad told me to fucking throw it out. My girlfriend told me I was smart for throwing it out. She told me that, I didn't know what the fuck's in there, and it's smart to throw it out. I've seen the old guy around town a couple times since then. Saw him at another gas station. Saw him at the grocery store. Just kind of said hi to him, didn't mention the staff, didn't mention anything about it. I messaged Tom Brady again and told him that if the staff is from him, I'd like another one, and I didn't put two and two together and realize maybe Tom Brady sent me Jimmy Hoffa's ashes because I left him a MAGA hat. Maybe it was Jeffrey Epstein's ashes. Maybe,
that
like,
could be.
I don't know who the fuck it was, dude. All I know is I'm not crazy, because then the other night, fucking, after I went to Boom's shop, because I've been fucking, I did a dab with Boom on my birthday, and I got high as fuck. Like, I haven't been fucking smoking or anything, but, like, I went there to try to get him to carry the swords. Not interested in carrying the swords, but wants me to potentially do a podcast for him out of his fucking head shop. He really wants to do a podcast. He really wants me involved with it. So, like, he told me to go in his office with him, and he had some other people back there. They're like talking business. He told me to do a dab. I was like, I got to do a dab with them. So I did a dab. It was on my birthday, and I got high as fuck to the point where I was just knocked out of the chair. And then I got in my car to drive home, and the whole way I was driving home, I started thinking to myself, like, did that old guy actually exist, or am I really just crazy and made that whole thing up? And, like, I told my girlfriend, and when I got home, I was like, hey, babe, like, that staff was real, right? Like, I actually showed up here with a staff with an urn on top, right? She was like, yeah, you're fucking crazy. Like, I don't know what the fuck you're doing with that. You just come home telling me you have Chris Benoit. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck was in there. Ernesto saw it. I sent Ernesto pictures of it. I was on Snapchat, fucking around with it for
like,
fucking day.
You're like, this is Chris Benoit's ashes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So why did he have it in his fucking trunk, though?
Like, did he just keep it in his trunk? Or, like, I want to know the story behind that shit. Like,
I have no idea, dude. I want to... I've been going to the gas station every night at midnight smoking a cigarette and hoping he shows up again. It hasn't happened again yet. But I'm trying to get to the fucking bottom of it, figure out what it was. Like, it seemed like it was fucking made for me. Like, it was like a tree branch, like a long fucking piece of wood, like from a fucking tree. And then on top of it, there was an urn screwed into it. And, like,
wow.
I thought it was the coolest thing ever when he gave it to me. I didn't realize it was an urn on top. I thought it was just some magical staff, and I was the king. So that's why they're giving it to me, because they know I'm the king. And I fucking completed my hallucinogenic journey and had an ego death. And I was like, that's
right.
Why they're giving this to me. And then I just started thinking about how I've been walking around for 3 days with an urn, and I don't know what the fuck is in it. And people probably think I'm fucking crazier than they did before now. Like, I don't know what the fuck was in there, dude. Like,
yeah.
Now I'm mad I got rid of it. What would you have done, Dennis? Would you have kept the dead motherfucker, or would you have gotten rid of it?
I don't know. Could you, like, open it? Like, did you get
no,
access to the inside?
It was, like, kind of, like, welded shut almost.
It had, like, it was, like, a decorative little orby thing that looked like an urn.
Yeah, whoever
yeah.
did that fucking wanted that thing to stay shut for some reason. I don't know. I don't really get into, like, the whole fucking possessed supernatural shit, but it's possible, dude. Like, maybe there was some
caught up on white people shit doing that.
Yeah.
I really did get caught up on white people shit doing that. It was, I swear it was voodoo. Like, I
would tell, go ahead.
Yeah. I really felt like there was some supernatural shit going on in the fucking hospital I was in Dorchester. Because, like, it was some weird shit. Like, I don't know if everybody in there is just crazy, but, like, I was walking through the hallway there, and some lady came up to me and was like, I feel like there's, like, a spirit on my back attacking me right now. I feel like someone's jumping on me. And, like, everyone in there seemed like you can call it mental illness, but I feel like some of those people in there were fucking possessed. I feel like maybe I was possessed. I went in there. The night before they arrested me, I had gone to the cemetery that Yash was at. My friend Yash is buried. And, like, I don't know why I had this in my head, but, like, that day was, like, really creepy the day before I got arrested and they brought me in there. Like, I don't know if the cops knew any of this, like, what I did the night before, but the day started with me going to the cemetery to see Yash with my friend who was also best friends with Yash. And I sat on top of Yash's grave, and he confessed some shit to me that had happened with Yash when he was alive and that he could never confess to Yash. And, like, I felt like Yash got mad at that and fucking somehow was, like, kind of possessing, like, me through that. And, like, Yash used to fucking – Yash was, like, a broke motherfucker, and I was, like, a – weed. I was the biggest weed dealer in town. So, like, I used to pick him up and smoke him up. Like, the whole plan was I was going to be a famous rapper, and I was going to put Yash on salary to roll my blunts. Like, I stopped performing live after Yash died because he used to come with me every time I performed and, like, video it and roll blunts, and we'd smoke blunts, and he would help me warm up in the car. He was really smart with rap music. He used to tell me I needed to decide if I wanted to be a rapper or a comedian. Because I'd go on stage to rap, and I'd be hitting punchlines to get the audience to laugh. And he was like, you're not a fucking clown. You need to be spitting gangster shit and not spitting these funny punchlines to get them to laugh. And I was like, yeah, I'm trying to get a rise out of the audience. I like to spit the punchline. So that's what I'd be fucking doing. And I used to give him my roaches to smoke. Like, he'd always come by my house and collect all my roaches and take my roaches and smoke them all. Because a lot of them were, like, really big. And I've been reading, like, about the ancient Egypt Book of the Dead. And they believe there was some magical power with saliva and shit like that. And, like, I know if there was one dead person I was actually able to talk to, it would be Yash. Like, these hippies, like, in 2012, before I got sent to the loony bin back then, these hippies had given me a crystal necklace that I'm wearing right now. My friend Wolf gave it to me, and he told me that this crystal would help heal me. And I was like, I don't need to be healed. Yash needs to be healed because he has a fucking brain tumor. So I gave Yash this crystal, and I told him to stop going to the doctors and just wear this crystal, and he would be fine. And he told me I was crazy and had done too much acid, and gave it back to me. So now I have it and I wear it. I don't know if Yash is trapped inside this crystal. I don't know what the fucking deal is. But anyway, went to the cemetery. My friend confessed some shit to me between him and Yash. I don't need to get it on here. And fucking, then I went home. Then there was another kid in Needham who died in a car accident, died in a fiery death car accident, much like the bitch that Henry Ruggs hit the other day. And his name was Keith. And before he died, I promised him that we would smoke weed together in the woods across from my house. Then he died, and we never smoked weed. So since that day was into dead people, I fucking went to the woods across the street from my old house, and I smoked a blunt with said a little prayer, and I said thank you to Keith, because when we were in high school, there was a girl that was two grades above me, and she was really hot, and he had naked pictures of her. And he showed me all the naked pictures. He showed me the naked picture of her in Spanish class one day. So I went there, smoked a blunt, said a prayer, said thank you, Keith, for showing me naked pictures of the girl. And then I left and I went home. And then, like, Yash's name meant live forever. That's what his name means in Farsi. Yashar means lives forever. He told me he was going to beat the cancer thing, and then he was going to get a tattoo that said fucking lives forever. So I started thinking that day, I was like, maybe Yash isn't actually buried in the cemetery. Maybe he is buried in the cemetery. Maybe, like, his mom has him in a freezer somewhere and there's a way to bring him back to life. I don't know what the deal is. Texted his number. I don't know why I did this. I texted his number and I was like, yo, guy, are you still alive? And then the number belongs to some girl now. And she texted me back and was like, why are you texting me right now? Who the fuck is this? And I was like, my bad. My friend left a party drunk. I'm just checking on him, which is kind of spooky because that's how Keith died. And so I was probably freaking out anybody that ended up reading these text messages.
Not to cut you off, but I got to hang up. I got to go do some shit. It's good talking to you fellas. Joe, I'm glad you're on the path of enlightenment. I will hit you up this week, and we'll talk some more.
Hell yeah. Thank you, bro. All
right. Later, Dennis. Later, Dylan.
Yep. Have a good one.
Later.
I really felt like I was performing some type of exorcism, because then I drove through the whole cemetery that Yash is at, and I drove through the whole thing fucking laying on my fucking horn. I literally was beeping the Tesla horn, and I drove through the whole fucking cemetery that Yash was at. And then I didn't drive by his grave, though, because I was like, I don't want to fuck with Yash. Like, I don't want to mess with him. I'm not going to drive by. I'm kind of, like, scared. I was scared I'd see his ghost if I went by there or something. So I fucking just drove through the whole cemetery honking the horn. And then I called Godfather, and I know he has the voodoo gimmick, and I was like, I'm doing voodoo right now. I'm the voodoo champ. So I called Godfather, and I was like, yo, Godfather and whatever the fuck your other names are, you and Vince McMahon better allow Enzo back in WWE because he's the best wrestler ever. And then I drove around fucking smoking cigarettes all around Boston, and then I went back to the sauna. And then I fucking sent the Snapchat talking shit to my stepbrother with a gun. And I was like, you fucking pussy, why don't you bring that fucking gun here? You fucking shoot your own fucking head off, bitch. And, then I got arrested the next morning. So I don't really know where I'm going with this story. I think I'm just trying to say I believe in voodoo and, like, spirits and the afterlife. And I think I think eating all the mushrooms put me more in tune with this. And lemurs are also, like, they got their name lemurs from, like, the word, like, spirits in another language. Like, lemurs are supposed to be, like, spirit portals. Like, I think they have something to do with, like, voodoo and, like, all that type of shit. And it was just weird that I went through all this fucking spirit afterlife shit, and then I fucking went to go see lemurs, who I'm pretty sure are, like, have something to do with, like, the afterlife and spirits. Like, Sergio said lemurs look like they can see God, and that was just kind of fucking freaky to me. And some fucking weird shit.
Yeah, I do know that there's something to the voodoo shit and, like, what goes on with it, because it's, like, borderline magic type shit almost, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But the people in Louisiana and down around that area, I mean, if you talk to some of the old heads, dude, they'll tell you everything you want to know about how to do it and fucking, you know, it's real shit. I don't know. I haven't really ever researched it, but I know it's some weird shit. there's something to it.
I'm involved with it.
I remember a few years ago, one of my friends was telling me about this. He got it as like a gag for his girlfriend or something, where, you know, it's a little doll and it's her, like her picture on it. He's like, yeah, I poke it with these things. And like, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And later on, I realized that shit came from like voodoo and shit, where they had those, you know, you put a fucking pin in it and it does something to the person or some shit. But he just bought it at like a gift store. And I was like, wow, they're really like making fun of this shit, you know, or even, like Ouija boards, you know, like they have Ouija boards for like 8-year-olds. And I'm like, who the fuck would give that to their fucking kid? You know what I mean? Because it's just shit that I don't want to fuck with it, dude. I don't want to know what the ramifications or implicate, you know, what it could really do. But that's just me. It's funny that there was two things I was going to add about the staff or whatever. I don't know if I would keep it if I would, like, hear voices and shit. Like, that's some weird shit. Like, there's something going on with that. Like,
was real Randy Orton shit. I hear voices in my head.
Yeah, I wouldn't fuck with that, dude. And then the other day I was on Facebook and I was, like, scrolling through, and I follow, like, this page, and they do auctions. You know, they auction off, you know, Michael Jordan cards and all kinds of shit. Like, anything you want, they have an auction for it. But they have, like, autographs from wrestlers, and one of the autographs they had was a Chris Benoit one, and I was like, wonder how much this motherfucker is going to go for, because you know somebody wants that fucking plaque. I don't know how many autographs this motherfucker did.
Yeah.
Like, there can't be that many of them, you know, so I'm like, who the fuck would...
Like, when I got the staff, I was like, I have to be Chris Benoit now. So the first thing I did was I went and jerked off to a picture of Nancy Benoit. I was like, this is what I got to do if I'm going to be.
Yeah, I bet you that was hard. That was probably difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, dude, like, fucking, I got the staff and I just started Googling about ashes. I was like, where's Chris Benoit's ashes? Because when I was on my way to see the lemurs and I stopped in Georgia, I looked up the house where Chris Benoit killed his family. And I was like, I'm going to fucking drive to Chris Benoit's house to see where he killed him. And then I got back and the dude hands me the staff. I Google where's Chris Benoit's ashes, and it was like Chris Benoit's wife and son were cremated and placed in starfish-shaped urns, and nobody knows where Chris Benoit's ashes are. But his kid and wife were placed in starfish-shaped urns. And then I started thinking about Tripp, and I was like, Tripp is Fred Durst, and chocolate starfish in the hot dog flavored water. So maybe they gave me fucking Chris Benoit. And I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
But like, telling you, I 100% believe in voodoo. Two of my best friends are Haitian. Haitians know all about that shit. And
yeah, there's some dudes. Look, real quick, dude. There's these dudes that live on property, and they're like, they don't speak a lot of English. You could tell they're like African descent or whatever, but, like, I did some work in their apartment, and I was, like, looking around at shit, and I was like, what in the actual fuck is going on in here? Like, the only thing that was missing was a fucking chicken or something hanging from the fucking ceiling. I'm like, what in the fuck is – I got to get the fuck out of here right now.
Dude, and then, like, while all this is going on, like, my girlfriend's sister makes, like, dresses and shit. She does, like, fashion. So, like, my fucking whole apartment was – they were storing some shit in my apartment. So my whole apartment was filled with fucking mannequins. So, like, I have this fucking staff with someone's ashes. My whole apartment is filled with these weird fucking mannequins. My girlfriend's family's making offerings to dead people. And there's a fucking giant bin on my porch, and it's fucking zip-tied shut. And I ask my girlfriend what's in the bin, and she goes, a body. And then won't tell me what's in it. So I start thinking, like, what the fuck's going on? These fucking Filipinos are fucking haunting my apartment. I got a fucking urn in my apartment. I don't know what the fuck is in it. I just finished doing fucking mushrooms and fucking going on my fucking lemur quest, and I don't know what the fuck's in this fucking urn. And, like, dude, like, it was crazy. It was one of the craziest times of my fucking life, man. I'm glad it's kind of over now, and I'm kind of getting back to normal, but I wish I knew it was in the urn. I wish I could get another gift that wasn't haunted. I don't know if I got to go leave another MAGA hat at Gillette to get the next gift. I have a Donald Trump football. Maybe I'll go punt the football onto the field and get another gift.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I wonder if that guy knew that, like, if he knew that there was something attached to it, why the fuck would he give it to you? Be like, oh, this will fuck with him while he's trying to sleep. You know, like,
maybe he was being haunted by it, and he was like, let me pass this on. Maybe it was someone he killed in Africa. Maybe he killed his fucking wife and put her in an urn and gave it to me. All I know is there's a chance I threw Jimmy Hoffa in the dumpster. I'm a part of the Irishman now. The Irishman movie should have an ending special credit scene where it's me throwing him in the fucking dumpster. And, like, maybe it was Jimmy Hoffa. Maybe it was Chris Benoit. I think Hitler's ashes were supposedly disposed of by the fucking KGB or something like that. They were thrown in a river. No one knows. Maybe it was Hitler. Maybe it was Aaron Hernandez. Maybe it was my Uncle Jim. I started thinking maybe it was my Uncle Jim because my Uncle Jim was in the service. And after my Auntie Linda, who I was like, part of my fucking mushroom break was like, I saw a message on my TV one day that said, I love you. And it was just like a Netflix loading screen, but it said, I heart you. And I had been all spun out, and I looked at it, and I thought it was my Auntie Linda from the grave telling me she loves me. And that started to fuck with me. And then my Uncle Jim used to drink orange Gatorade. And after that happened, I started going to the gas station and getting an orange Gatorade every day. And then I was like, maybe Uncle Jim wanted me to have his ashes. And then my Auntie Linda and Uncle Jim used to always joke to each other. She used to tell him that if he died, she was going to throw him in the trash. She was like, when you die, I'm just going to throw you in the trash. So I was like, if there was Uncle Jim, I did what Auntie Linda would do, and I threw him in the fucking trash. So I didn't do anything wrong, really. I did what she would have wanted me to do with him. I threw him in the fucking trash. And, like, I started getting real, like, I don't know, spiritual, but I really started worshiping the dead after all this happened. Like, my dad told me he doesn't want me going to cemeteries anymore because it charges me up too much. So something happens to me when I go to the cemeteries and I'm around, like, people that I love. And, like, I went to Yasha's grave. I've been going there a lot still. And then, like, when I was at Yasha's grave, the lady whose family owns the cemetery was there. And she was at her sister's grave, who died in a car crash in, like, New Mexico or Arizona, like, the year I was born. And then she, like, was crying and brought me over to her sister's grave. And then I told her Yasha's story. She told me her sister's story. And she's the same religion as me. She has an Orthodox cross on her sister's grave. So every time I go there now, I go over to her sister's grave, too, and say a prayer. And, like, I didn't know what I was supposed to do when I met her at the cemetery. I was like, am I supposed to fuck this lady right now? Is that what's going on right now? She was, like, real open with me about shit. I was like, I don't know what to do. And then I started thinking, like, what if I have her sister's soul? You know what I mean? Like, what if she knows I was somehow the reincarnation of that? Like, I started thinking about all this reincarnation shit. My dad keeps telling me my girlfriend is the reincarnation of my Auntie Linda, which I don't know if the timeline, like, works up on that. But, like, it's fucking weird, dude. And, like, I started thinking a lot about that. And then I started going to my uncle's grave, my Uncle Paul. And, like, Freddie didn't go to his funeral. And what's crazy is my mom told me that when she was trying to convince me my dad was gay, she started telling me that she knows somebody who's gay that told her that they think he's gay. And I'm pretty sure it was my uncle's gay brother-in-law. And at my Uncle Paul's funeral, someone fucking rear-ended him, no homo, and his glass in his car shattered and got all over him. And I was telling my cousin, I was like, you know what happened at your dad's funeral? This fucking gay guy got fucking glass all over his fucking head, probably for talking shit about my dad. That's probably what fucking happened, because Uncle Paul had my fucking back. And Freddie didn't go to his dad's funeral, and Freddie, I don't know if he ever cried about his dad's death, but, like, I FaceTimed Freddie from his dad's grave, and he started crying. And, like, I felt like I did the right thing for Uncle Paul, and that's what Uncle Paul wanted. So afterwards, I got home, and I ordered myself a Tony Montana hat, and I sent it to Joe Tawa of Power, because that's what my uncle used to call me. That's his last name, Tawa. He told me all you got in life is your name and your balls, like Scarface. Don't break them for anybody. And I was like, he'd be happy with what I just did. And he made me a wrestling statue once, because he knew I loved wrestling. And he sent it to Joe Tawa. He named me Joe Tawa of Power. So I sent my Tony Montana hat to Joe Tawa of Power. And then I started walking my dog at his favorite park every day. And then, like, to Linda's grave, and I left her flowers, and I left my grandmother and grandfather flowers. I never met my grandfather, but his name was also Joseph Demergen. And my dad gave me his cigarette holder that has my initials on it. So I brought that to the cemetery, showed it to him. It was like, I'm the new fucking Joseph Demergen in town. And I just got real in tune with fucking nature and real in tune with, like, spirits, I think. And I think I'm on, like, another level now. And it's hard to fucking tell people that, like, without them thinking I'm fucking crazy and belong back in the fucking loony bin. Like, I was watching the fucking Adam Sandler movie, Big Daddy, and there's a homeless guy. I think I forget his name. It's the guy with the fucking bug eyes. He's in a bunch of shit. And he's, like, says how, like, he did a bunch of mushrooms and then watched the movie Fantasia a bunch, and all of a sudden it just fucking started making sense. And I was like, fuck, it's going to be me if I don't chill out. If I do mushrooms again, I'm going to be homeless out of the road talking about how in 2021 I did a bunch of mushrooms and all of a sudden everything started to make sense. But,
yeah,
amen.
I don't know, dude. I'll tell you this. This is ironic, too. When I came to Iowa, when I was still, you know, before all the shit happened with Lee, we went to a Halloween party, and Lee made this fucking mushroom fucking punch, right? So I was like, oh, yeah, whatever, because I hadn't done them in fucking forever. You know, I did acid and shit when I was in high school or whatever, but mushrooms every once in a while. So it had been a long time, and then, you know, we're smoking and shit in the garage, and Lee pulled out that fucking punch that he made, and we were drinking it and shit, and I didn't think anything of it until, I don't know, 30 minutes or so later, or however long it
took. Fucking gay son's jizz in it.
Yeah, or something. And, like, I just started fucking, I left the party, and I just started walking around and shit, and I could, like, feel, it was the weirdest shit, dude. Like, I could feel things that I hadn't felt, you know, it's just, you get in tune with things that normally you're not paying attention to.
Yeah. When the guy sent me the mushrooms, I did them the first time. Then I sent him a message, and I was like, hey, man, can you send me some more of those? I really want to know what else these mushrooms have to offer. And he was like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I really felt like they were opening my brain up to things, and I was learning new things because of the mushrooms.
Yeah,
because I
looked at my cell phone. Yeah, I was walking around, and I was like,
we should get overtime, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, we got anyways. I was walking around and fucking looking at trees, and, you know, it's late at night, and people were probably like, what the fuck is this dude doing? But anyways, I looked at my cell phone for some reason, and it was like the most foreign fucking thing I had ever seen in my life. I thought it was like fucking alien technology or some shit. I was like, what the fuck is this thing? And then the next day I was thinking about it. I was like, wow, dude, we walk around fucking everyday reality, and we don't even know half the shit that's going on that we're not even paying attention to. Like, there's shit all around us, dude, that we're not even, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but, you know, people that have done mushrooms and fucking shit like that, they get it. But I just remember that night. And then another weird thing real quick is my mom, after she passed, you know, we had her cremated. So we brought her ashes home. And for a while, she was like in this black box. You know, we didn't get an urn right away. So she was in this box that they gave us. So she was just on the table in, like, a black fucking generic box. And, like, all this weird shit kept happening. Like, me and my cousin would be sitting around smoking and shit. And I'd be like, hey, I'm not trying to freak you out or anything, but did you move that clock off the fucking wall in the kitchen? He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, all right, we're not going to talk about that. Like, I would just try to I would try to push it out of my brain. And then my sister later on, she got my mom's urn, and she took it to her house now. And she's like, I thought you were fucking with me. But she was like, when I brought that shit here, like, weird shit was happening, and I couldn't explain it. And I'm like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. But I think my mom was trying to communicate with us, you know, or some way. Yeah, it was fucking weird, dude. I thought I was losing my fucking mind because, like, shit would just
dude.
Be – it would be random shit. Like, I would set something somewhere, and then I'd be like, oh, where did I fucking put that? And it'd be, like, in a bedroom somewhere that I didn't even – I'm like, I know I didn't put this fucking thing right here.
Dude, like, so when I had those ashes, I started thinking if they were Chris Benoit's, and I started thinking about how to, like, activate spirits and shit. And I was like, if there's one song that Chris Benoit's heard more than any other song, it's probably his – fucking theme song. So I was like, maybe if I fucking play Chris Benoit's theme song, then it'll fucking activate his fucking soul. Because when Yash knew he was dying, he told me to just please remember his favorite music. So like, I always feel like when I play Yash's favorite music, his favorite album was the Biggie Duets album, The Final Chapter. That started freaking me out too, because I was like, Duets, The Final Chapter. That's like, what if that's me talking to Yash from the grave? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's crazy too, because it was like last week I watched this fucking this thing. I guess it was on YouTube or some shit, but it was about Tupac and like how he possibly faked his death and shit. You know, all the conspiracy theories and shit. And I'm like, what if he did? Fuck. What if he is fucking alive? You know, that shit. You know, would not surprise me at all if that motherfucker was like, I'm done with all this shit, I'm just going to try a new life, you know, but maybe he did die. I just find, like, all the situations around Tupac's death were just, like, somebody got paid the fuck off because somebody knows exactly what the fuck happened. But, you know, maybe that motherfucker isn't dead. Who knows? I mean, I haven't seen him. I can't say for sure he's alive, but, I mean, this motherfucker had 7 albums, dude, after his death, and I understand, like, people have material stockpiled, but 7 fucking albums, like, that's a bit much.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, dude, that's a bit much. Like, you must have been writing night and day for like fucking years of just writing shit.
Yeah,
that's crazy. And there's a dude that was, he was signed to No Limit Records, I want to say. I forgot his name. His name was like Turk or something, but this motherfucker sounded exactly like Tupac. Like, that was his claim to fame, is that when he rapped, he had Tupac's voice. And I'll have to find that shit and pull it up or something, but I don't know, man. Like, there's just so much weird shit that makes you think about things. Like, the whole Chris Benoit thing, like, who's to say he wasn't fucking set up or some shit, you know? Like, I don't think he would do that shit.
Yeah.
But then again, he had brain trauma and fucking concussions, and, like, we don't fucking know, dude. Like, maybe he did.
Who's
snap.
To say the wife
maybe
didn't threaten to
off.
Kill him with a gun? Who's to say,
yeah,
who's to
and
say
he
that
was
didn't happen?
The world title. I mean, Chris Benoit loved the business, obviously, and he was supposed to win, like, the ECW world title. I think John Morrison stepped in for him or whatever. He was about to, like, blow up again. Like, he was going to go down the road of being, like, a world champion and shit, and I just don't see – I don't know. I don't understand. I mean, I can't wrap my head around it why he would fucking do that. But we never know, depression and – fucking things people deal with. I know firsthand how depression can be. That's another thing, dude. It's like the last 6 months or so for me has been like fucking really good. Like, I haven't really had a lot of shit in my life going on, but I like it when it's quiet. You know what I mean?
I'm glad it.
Going on. Yeah.
It feels,
I mean,
like we fucking traded places. And I also feel like all this shit was fucking karma for all this shit I've talked about. Your dead parents and all dead people on the Dead Motherfucker Show and everything I've done.
Dead Motherfucker.
I literally spent the last
that.
Few years. I literally spent the last few years making fun of dead people, and then some guy hands me a fucking urn at a gas station, and I'm fucking haunted. Like,
it's
it was definitely fucking karma.
It's possible because, you know, like, I was arguing with one of my friends like a month ago. And, you know, I stopped talking to him and shit, and I could just imagine him sitting around and be like, fuck that motherfucker. I hope everything bad in life. And people don't realize when you say shit like that, like, something really could fucking happen. Especially when I'm at work, like, we'll be talking about shit, and I'm like, dude, don't say that, because usually when somebody says something, the next fucking day it happens. For instance, my general manager, she was like, I'm off Monday. Don't call me unless there's a fire. Well, Thursday we had a fucking fire. And I'm like, see, you got to be careful about, like, saying shit because you don't really – you're, like, speaking it into a fucking existence by doing that. And I don't know. It all has to do with, like, negative energy and, like, things that, you know, you don't really – even my worst enemies, dude, there's a lot of shit I wouldn't wish on them. And I don't have a lot of enemies. But, you know, you just got to be careful about, like, certain things that you may say or whatever. I mean, I understand, like, being a gimmick or – you know, you're playing a character and shit, but if you really believe that shit, then there's something, there could be something behind it, you know, the things that we say.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I felt like there was something behind it because my whole road trip down to North Carolina, I was trying to call you and troll you and talk shit and get you on a podcast so I could talk shit to you. And then I get back, all this shit happens. I smash my phone, throw my fucking computer in a river, and then the second I turned my phone back on, I went and got a new phone. The second I get it set up, I get a fucking text from you saying, let's do a podcast right now. And I was like, this motherfucker, I just fucking smashed my computer, and now I can't do one, and now he wants to fucking do one.
That's right.
I was like, he has to be fucking in on it, or the spirits are fucking talking to him, and he doesn't even know it, and they're fucking with me now.
It's funny you say that, because, like, sometimes you'll text me, or we'll talk on Snapchat or whatever, you know, in the last few months or whatever, and I just remember one day when I sent that, I was like, I should hit up Joe, see what he's fucking doing. But I don't know, dude, like, I had no fucking idea that all that shit happened. I was talking to Kent, like a month ago or something. He was telling me that he had talked to you, just like you were, saying that you guys had talked or something. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, Joe, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what? What the fuck is he talking about? I was like, no fucking way. There's no fucking way in existence in this fucking world that Joe's having problems. I don't fucking believe it. I don't fucking, no fucking
dude,
way.
I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it either until I had to literally track this fucker down.
Yeah, I'm like, this motherfucker's bulletproof, dude. There's no fucking way. But, yeah.
Yeah. It, dude, I really was getting fucked with hardcore, dude. Like, I literally had to track him down to find him. Dude,
right.
I couldn't sleep, and then things got worse. Because, like, I really felt like, I had driven through the cemetery that night, and I had, like, taken on some fucking spirits. Like, I had, like, awoken the fucking dead or something. And then, like, the next morning, I was just trying to sleep it off, and then the cops came and fucking dragged me out of bed. Like, after I got out of the loony bin, I couldn't sleep. I was, like, shell-shocked, and I was just thinking that I'm going to be woken up by the cops again. Like, I couldn't sleep because I kept thinking if I sleep, I'm going to get woken up by the cops again, and they're going to fucking test me again. And then, like, I just kept buying shit and throwing it in the trash. Like, I owe my plug money now because all the fucking weed I threw away. And then I kept going to the store. Like, I bought an orange sweatshirt, and I bought sneakers. And then I was like, if I wear this orange sweatshirt, like, I think people are hunting me. So I got it, and I threw it away. And then I went to the store, and I bought a fucking Carhartt Army sweatshirt. And then I was like, if I'm wearing this, I think people are hunting me. This means I'm in the Army. And people are going to kill me now. So I fucking threw that away. And then I was going to get another one. Next. And I went and got another one. I was fucking throwing random shit in the fucking water. Like, I fucking recently, and his last name, it was the longer version of the last name Nash. Nashawati. And he wrote country music. He lived in Tennessee, and he wrote country music, and he sold it to fucking famous country musicians, and they would sing it and put it on their albums and make music videos out of it. He was pretty successful. And when he died, I bought a Steve Nash jersey, and I was wearing the Steve Nash jersey. And when he died, they fucking cremated him, and they spread his ashes in the water down the Cape. And I was like, for some reason, I wore his jersey for like a couple weeks. And then I was like, because I have this jersey, I think people are hunting me because they don't like him. And then I took the jersey and I went and threw that in the water. And then, like, I thought my grinder was, like, the holy chalice, like the fucking, like the holy grail. And I fucking took my grinder and, like, a pair of scissors I used to roll blunts and a fucking blunt poker and a knife, and I put them in a fucking little pouch, and I went and I threw that in the fucking water. Like, I was fucking bugging, dude. Like,
right.
It was some crazy shit, dude. Like, I really felt like I was operating on a different frequency, and I was talking to dead people. And I probably sound schizophrenic saying that, but, like, I'm telling you, I was, like, some crazy shit was going on with me. Like, I think it was a mix of, like, trauma from the loony bin, a mix of the ego death, and I truly believe it was a mix of operating on a different frequency and seeing and hearing things that a lot of people can't hear and see.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. And then, I don't know, dude, like, I don't really like to say karma and shit, but, like, things, you know what I mean? Like, they have a way of coming back around.
Yeah.
To where you start realizing shit, you know what I mean? But I felt like whenever you were saying things or whatever, you know, about parents or whoever, it's like, dude, people will talk about dead people all the fucking time. It's like, oh, that dude was an asshole, you know? I'm glad he's fucking dead or whatever. But you don't know. We don't know how the other realm operates. If there is an afterlife, we don't know the system. We don't know how that shit works. So,
nah, dude.
I don't know.
Like, I really think that, I think my sister and I have some type of, like, abilities that most people aren't tuned into. Because, like, she's gotten some weird dreams. I've gotten some weird dreams. And, like, my cousin, not Freddie, my other cousin, Dan, his mother died of leukemia. And she was, like, cousins with my mom. And I've gotten really close with him recently. And there was a song Yash used to like, a Lil Wayne song. And I had it on in my car one night, and I went over to bring dabs to my cousin's wife. And I showed up, and she came out to my car, and I was listening to the song. And he lives in his mother's house. His mother passed away, and he got the house, and he lives there. And I pulled up to the house, and I had the Lil Wayne song playing, and she came out, and she was like, holy shit. And I was like, what? And she was like, this song was Dan's ringtone for his mother. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of fucked with me.
Yeah, to this day, dude, like, my friends that have passed on, or even my mother, her number is still on my phone. I don't know why it's in there or why I don't delete it, but it's in there. And, you know, always hoping for a day that fucking it rings, but it ain't going to ring. So there's ringtones and shit that are still programmed into my shit that I'll probably never hear again, but whatever.
I started texting my dead aunt when all this was going on, because some point during this whole thing, I was like, maybe she's not really dead, because she was like really rich. Like, they lived in Florida in a little private community, and she lived across the water from the guy that owns Walgreens. Like, not just one Walgreens, like Walgreens. Like, his last name is Walgreens. Like, he owns all of Walgreens. And, like, she fucking lived in this whole fucking community across the water from him, and she had all this money, and I felt like maybe she faked her death because the family was just using her for money, and she didn't want to be used anymore. And I started thinking about, like, quantum physics and Schrodinger's cat in the box. And, like, when I used to do acid with the hippies, they would talk about this shit, how if you don't see something, you don't know if it's real or not. Like, the Schrodinger's cat is, like, he had a cat in a box, then he put, like, some type of poison in there or something, kind of like Joe Biden with the Beagles. I mean, Dr. Fauci with the Beagles. And
right.
It was like, you don't know, if you don't look in the box, you don't know if the cat's alive or not. It's a 50-50 chance. So technically, the cat is both alive and dead. And I never saw a dead body for her. I never saw a dead body for Yash. I don't know if they're actually alive or dead. But, yeah, like, after my aunt died, my dad told me, originally told me, that her husband died of leukemia. And then a couple months later, he told me the real story, which is that after my aunt died, my uncle was so depressed, he didn't want to live without her. He went in the fucking garage and stuck a fucking shotgun in his mouth and blew his fucking brains out. And I was like, I don't know, maybe it was him and the staff. Maybe it was Uncle Jim. Maybe it was Jimmy Hoffa. Maybe it was Chris Benoit. Maybe it was fucking Hitler.
It could have been anybody. And chances are, whoever was in that motherfucker did some bad shit in their life, because that's fucked up. Like, it's not even, like I said, I've seen some paranormal shit, and I just, like, brushed it off as, like, I didn't really see that. But, you know, it's, like I said, we don't know the afterlife, man. That's why when I was younger, The Undertaker, like, his whole persona used to really, like, freak me out when I was, like, 12, 13 years old. I was like, this motherfucker is really dead. You know, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
It was just his fucking wrestling gimmick used to freak me out. And I remember I went to SummerSlam 2005 when HBK and Hulk Hogan had their match at SummerSlam in D.C. And I remember Undertaker was fighting Randy Orton that night. So, you know, there was, like, an intermission of, you know, hey, nothing's going to happen, because it was like a Kurt Angle match right before that or something. And everybody was like, oh, that was fucking awesome. So everybody was like getting up to go to the bathroom and go to get their fucking food or whatever, and the fucking gong hit, dude. And I was like, holy fuck. Like, my fucking, I don't know, it looked like he was floating to the fucking ring, dude. There was so much smoke and shit, and like, it fucking, I had goosebumps, dude. Like, I don't know. That motherfucker, it's a good thing, I mean, I'm not happy that he retired, but, like, that fucking gimmick is, like, the best gimmick of all time, because that shit, I remember when that fucking gong hit and the lights went out, dude, that shit was, like, fucking, the hair on my neck was standing up. It was fucking, I don't know, it was like, supernatural type shit. I guess Bray Wyatt was trying to tap into that or whatever, but we'll see what he does wherever he's going. That's another thing I want to talk to you about. I mean, you've been into the wrestling scene at all, or you've been, like, not watching it?
Not really. I know Nia Jax got released. I know a bunch of people got released. I know John Moxley is in fucking rehab right now for fucking alcohol. So maybe if I get back to the loony bin, I'll chill with Dean Ambrose. All I know is if I threaten anybody else, I'm getting arrested and sent to McLean's Hospital for 6 months. So if I disappear for 6 months, it's because I threatened somebody else. So I really need to stop threatening people. And
if I was you, dude, I would just focus on, like, what's important to you right now, and don't worry about, you know, I can't give you the best advice. I'm not the best at giving advice, but focus on what you need to do to fucking get to where you need to be right now, and fuck everybody else right now. I mean, like I said earlier, I was just, you know, it's like a noose. I've talked to you off shows and shit before, but, like, I'm used to, like, the Joe, you know, the champ persona type shit. So it's kind of, I have to, like, it's kind of weird for me right now. So I just don't think that, in my opinion, I think, like, you should just get healthy as much as possible, whether it's mentally or whatever you got to do, dude. You know, because I've been in situations in my life where, like, I had to start over, you know, like, start from the ground up. And, like I said, I'm actually comfortable right now, so things are actually good for me. But, you know, I don't really know what to tell you.
I'm really lucky I have my girlfriend. I'll tell you that much. Like, I don't have to worry about much when I have her. Like, she just told me she's gonna open a fucking Apple Card and buy me a new computer. I'll pay her back, whatever. She cooks for me nonstop. I wake up, food is cooked. I fucking go out, come back, there's more food. She asked me what I want for dinner. Like, I woke up today, she had ramen cooked. Her family owns, like, a lot of land in the Philippines. We're going to pick her dad up from New York in a few weeks. And it's kind of hilarious because I'm a racist asshole. And I don't know why I assumed this, but I assume people in the Philippines have to shit in holes in the ground and they don't have toilets. And I told her this, and they couldn't believe that I actually thought that. And today, her mom and her sister came over, and she made ramen for all of us. So we were all chilling, eating ramen, and they told us that they're building another house right near the farm in the Philippines that Annie and I could potentially live in. And they were like, yeah, we're going to build you a special bathroom, Joe, so you don't have to shit in a hole in the ground, you racist asshole. Thank you. Thank you. But
yeah.
There's a good chance I'm going to end up spending a good amount of time in the Philippines. Like, her family has a lot of land with farms, and they have a fucking, like, resort there with pools and shit. American money is worth a lot there. So I could work for a little bit here, keep hustling, doing my thing, save up some money, go there, pretty much be rich. And she was saying if we go there, we don't have to worry about money at all. We could just live off of her farm, not worry about money. Like, talk about being in tune with nature. Like, I'm trying to be on my Brock Lesnar shit, just be on a farm with my bitch and just not talk to anybody. I would still do the podcast with you guys live from the fucking Philippines, and I would just be fucking lounging in the Philippines, fucking killing animals and eating them. Her cousin's a hitman.
Be doing podcasts, sending smoke signals and shit. That'll work. But
for real.
I mean, that's probably a good thing, dude. Like, I'll be honest with you, I mean, there's some traveling and shit that I want to do that's not in the United States. I don't want to fucking, I don't want to travel the fucking United States. I want to go somewhere else, you know. Like, I've never been out of the country, so that's something I'm looking forward to do after the winter, maybe. But, yeah.
Yeah, I've been to Canada once, that's all. But I'm definitely going to the Philippines at some point in the next year or two. So that's going to be fucking nice.
I want to go to Japan for some reason. I don't know why, but
yeah,
I know
you do. I really want to go there too. Maybe once
that
I'm fucking rich, we can go there together, man. It's gonna happen eventually.
I just appreciate
if I could drive my Tesla to Japan, I'd pick you up right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's hard to say what can happen, but I'm kind of glad. I mean, I don't know what the podcast schedule is gonna be or whatever, but I'm, you know, it's a new chapter, like you said. So. I mean, we can work on whatever we got to work on. I'm actually trying to bring back, you know, somewhat of a show of my own. I don't know how that's going to be or what it's going to be, but I'm trying to set up a studio now. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's time, you know, because like I said, I haven't been on radio or doing podcasts in a long time. And I miss it, you know. I think it's a vital part of what we do.
I feel great after doing this fucking show, man. Like, the way I look at it, 2012, I did a bunch of acid and started my life over. And then 2021, I did a bunch of mushrooms and started my life over again. And the rebirth of Dab and Aladdin now is 2012, 2021. It's like reverse, the one and the two. And honestly, like, I think I needed the ego death. Like, my girlfriend was telling me that the only thing I love is myself. That's what she kept telling me. She was like, you don't love me. You just love yourself. You don't love anybody besides yourself. You just love yourself, and that's who you are. And now, I think I got time for other people.
Yeah, I've told you that before, too. I was like, Joe, that's the only person you give a fuck about is yourself. But I get it, dude. You know, like, I really do.
Because I always felt like my dad was a loser. Like, my mom kicked me out of the house and didn't really care about me anymore. And, like, nobody is ever going to take care of me besides myself. So all I need to do is take care of myself, and I'll be set for life. And last year, I kind of learned that Annie has my back no matter what. She caught me, quote, cheating on her twice. I didn't even get my dick wet, but I somehow cheated twice. And and she's still taking care of me. She'll fucking do anything for me. Her family loves me. They'll do anything for me. And, like...
Dude, don't fuck with her, dude, because she'll be cooking your ass next. She'll be flying.
She will be.
Yeah. She'll be in that walk. She'll be cooking you up in the fucking walk and shit.
When I got home from North Carolina, I couldn't find my black cat. I thought she ate him. I was like, did you fucking eat Deezy? Where did you find him? I thought she ate him, dog. I pulled up the covers. He was underneath him. I was like, thank God they didn't eat my fucking cat.
Right. I don't know.
I really don't need him for a second.
You know what I've been doing, dude, is, like, getting back into, like, things that take me away from, fucking reality and shit. You know, like, I've been doing artwork and painting and shit. And then I've really been getting into, like, cooking and shit, even though I'm only cooking for myself right now. But, like, I'll buy a bunch of shit and then watch the fucking videos or whatever it is and fucking, I don't know, you just, I have to do something to keep my mind off of shit, because that's what I was going to tell you earlier. It's like, don't overthink things, dude. Like, I have a tendency to, like, worry about shit or overthink things that don't even fucking matter. So you just got to pick your battles, man. Because your brain, believe it or not, your mind and your brain is a fucking powerful thing, and it can fuck with you if you let it. So you got to fucking, you got to control it, is what I'm saying. You can't let it control you.
I'm fucking walking into the grocery store right now, speaking of food, and he asked me to get some fucking eggs. So I'm going here to get some fucking eggs. But nah, dude, like, one of the things during this whole fucking ego death and rebirth that we're talking about, one of the things that started, like, sparking shit up for me is my grandmother, the one who like, lived with me when I was little. Like, she used to make this Arabic dish all the time that I'd eat when I was little. It was called ije, and it's a Syrian omelet. And it's, like, make it in, like, a glass pan. And it's like eggs and parsley and pine nuts, and it's an Arabic omelet. And I hadn't eaten it since I was like 5 years old. I hadn't eaten this dish, and I started thinking about it after I was doing the mushrooms. And I fucking asked my dad if he had the recipe, and he gave me the recipe. And like, it broke my heart on the fucking recipe. There's a picture of me, like, 5 year old me with my grandmother, and it's like, this is Joe's, like, favorite dish that his grandmother makes, and here's the recipe. And I gave the recipe to Annie, and she started making it for me. And she literally makes it exactly like I remember it. Like, it's exactly what my grandmother used to make. And it fucking, I started eating that, and it, like, awoke. I felt like it, like, awoke my grandmother's fucking spirit in me.
Yeah, I mean,
it's fucking wild.
That's another thing, dude, is, like, my mom's cooking. I'll never fucking be able to eat her cooking, but I can get pretty close. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of recipes and shit that she taught me. Recently, I don't know, in the last couple of weeks, like, at least twice a week, I'll make, like, an Asian or, like, a Chinese dish. Like, tonight I made fucking broccoli beef or whatever, and it's, like, better than you can get in a fucking Chinese restaurant. So,
yeah.
I just been trying to hone that craft. Like, I've always loved to cook and shit, so I don't know. I'm getting a lot better. But
dude, it'd be dope, like, if fucking one day I fucking have you over for dinner. You could have some of Andy's fucking Asian cooking. She's the fucking best at it.
Yeah, I gotta get with Tripp, dude, because me and him been talking about getting together for a while too. You know, it'd be cool as shit to just hang out at Tripp's house, dude. He's got a fucking pool and shit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
The guy on the couch. I'm like, I ain't going nowhere, dude. I'm here for fucking 10 years now. But, I actually downgraded, dude. I had a 2-bedroom apartment where I had been there for, like, 9 months, and I was like, why the fuck am I paying for 2 bedrooms? So I just, like, downgraded. I think since I talked to you, I don't know if I told you that, but I downgraded to, like, a 1-bedroom. It's in a better spot. And fucking, the only thing that's an issue is, like, the people above me, because I'm on the bottom now, but they're not that loud. You know, you can hear them walking and shit, but it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And then I just been saving as much money as I fucking possibly can, like, trying to cut corners and just stacking and stacking and stacking. That's all I've been doing. So eventually I want to get a house and shit. So that's kind of what I'm working on. But who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I want to get another part-time job. But then I started thinking about that too. It's like, why the fuck would I work another fucking job? You know what I mean? I have a job. So I started thinking about, like, kind of what you do, and, like, not going to, like, a business for myself, but, like, what can I sell that people need? You know, what can I create or, like, fucking distribute to create more revenue? And then I started looking at, like, Etsy and, like, all these arts and crafts fucking things that people sell, and, you know, like, who knows, man?
Yeah.
Like, if you draw something or paint something, like, I grew up with a guy. I met him when I was, like, 15, and we always would, like, draw, like, comics or, like, wrestlers and shit. And eventually he went to school to, like, be an artist. And I ran into him, like, a few years ago before I came to Iowa, and he was like, the difference between you and me is I do this for a living, you do it for fun. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You know what I mean? Because he actually sells his fucking artwork. He's a graphic artist now. I think he makes apps and shit, yeah, too. So.
All good. Thank you. Yeah, no, dude, just, like, I've been trying to expand even more because, like, with the swords and the stuff that we make, thank you. Thank you. Like, I was making a lot of money on Etsy. I was fucking crushing it on Etsy. And then they fucking took us off Etsy because they said it's, like, drug stuff. And honestly, like, before everything happened with me with the mental health stuff, we were crushing the fucking business, dude. We were getting, like $3,000 orders all the time for smoke shops in fucking Tennessee, Virginia, Florida, fucking Texas. Like, we were getting all these fucking big orders. And then as soon as this shit started taking off, Aaron fucking decided that he's going to go get a fucking 20-an-hour job and fucking leave me hanging. So that fucking stressed me out even more because I couldn't fill these fucking orders, dude. And then fucking I go to the loony bin, I come out, and there was a $3,000 order for a smoke shop in Tennessee Hemp Care. And I had all the swords ready to fill this order. And my brain was so fucking scrambled from what they fucking did to me in there, dude. I couldn't even comprehend getting the swords in a box and sending them there. Like, I literally had to talk to Annie, tell her how many of each sword to put in there, and she, like, filled the whole order for me. Like, I couldn't fucking do it. And then, like, hang on. I'm just getting back in my car. But, yeah, back then we had fucking 12 different sword designs. So we had a lot of different designs, and people would order, like, you know, 5 to 10 of each design. And it was a big order. And then we switched suppliers, and the new place can't really cut all 12 designs. Some of them are too small. And, like, I don't want to get the other place to cut them. I'm trying to figure out. I had to hire more people, get them grinding swords. I couldn't train them on all fucking 12 designs, so now we're down to 6 designs. So now there's not as many designs. Some of the cool ones aren't there, so the orders are smaller, and there's fucking less orders. And then also, when I was fucked up from the loony bin, I posted that the Holocaust didn't happen on my Instagram. And that was kind of a mistake. And now places are fucking going around ratting to smoke shops saying I don't believe in the Holocaust, and then they don't want to carry my stuff. And they're just fucking with me hardcore. So that was kind of a mistake. But anyway, the point is that the fucking sword bit, and also the fucking price of titanium doubled when Joe Biden took office. It literally fucking doubled. So I had to hire the fucking prices, and then now people are like, why is this same item cost more? And it's like, why don't you fucking ask Joe Biden? You know what I mean? It's not my fucking fault. Like, it's literally Joe Biden's fault that my prices went up. So, like, I'm directly affected by that shit. And now I'm just trying to think about, like, getting into bigger markets. Like, I have the fucking system set up to make everything. And, like, a lot of these people are making the same tools we make, but they're making them out of stainless steel. And stainless steel is cheaper than titanium, so they're selling them for cheaper. And I'm trying to explain to people that it's not safe to dab off of stainless steel, and we're doing the right thing making them out of titanium. And people are like, I don't care. I just want the cheaper tool. So, like, that's affecting us right now. People are starting to do crazier shit with the handles. They're using, like, wood and epoxy and shit for the handles, and we don't have the setup to do that yet. So we're getting kind of beat in a couple different categories right now. So it's like a lot of work owning your own business. I'm trying to fucking figure out a way to make these swords a different way and fucking make them look better so we can get more business, how to make them cheaper. Like, it's too much work sometimes, dude. Like, I knew this dude, this fucking Jewish dude who had, like, a big, nice house, and he ran his own business, and he owned a bunch of businesses. He owned, like, laundromats and stuff. And I told him when I was younger, I want to run my own business. And he told me I was dumb and don't do it, and it's too fucking stressful, and it's not worth it. And I was like, nah, I don't care. I don't want to work for anybody. I want my own business. And that dude ended up dying of cancer. And now I'm fucking stressed out dealing with mental health stuff. And I'm like, maybe that dude was fucking right. This shit ain't going to do anything but fucking stress me out. I've been debating getting a job at a car dealership and fucking selling cars. I know somebody that has connections and is going to put me on. My dad has a connection at the casino.
I've been thinking about getting a job at the fucking casino, and it's just fucking, I've been looking at different things. Like, I don't want my business to fail. I want my business to succeed. I want to keep doing it. But, like, it's getting stressful, man, especially working with Aaron. Like, I'm thankful for Aaron helping me innovate the product and get this far. But, like, nobody's going to fucking care about your business like you care about your business. Like, if this business fails, it's my fucking ass. And it, Aaron, it's not his fucking ass. If a business fails for him, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to go get a fucking car place now. And it's like, dude, like, I need the shit to fucking succeed. He doesn't care about it like I fucking care about it.
Like you were saying about just getting a part, like getting a job, like shit, even just like 20 hours a week, like just do like 5 hours a day, 4 days a week, just to give you some guaranteed cash.
Ed, I mean, you can sell anything, dude. Like, if anything I know about you, you could sell fucking anything. Yeah, and also, maybe for the company, try to look for somebody that can handle the shit you can't. You know, maybe like a VP or something, or fucking somebody that can kind of like take the reins. I know that's probably hard for you, but you know, somebody that can pick up the slack that fucking you can't fucking deal with right now.
Yeah.
And then it's funny because you know, I'm right next to you and I college, you know, university here, and like the kids here, they all fucking smoke weed and shit. So
Joe needs an intern.
But I was in downtown, like, by the university, and there's a head shop there where they sell bongs. And, you know, it's like a shop where they sell dabs, whatever. And I was talking to the lady, you know, about you and your fucking company. I was like, hey, are you guys interested in, like, picking up other brands, or, like, are you into that? And she's like, yeah, give me a card or something. This was, like, 2 weeks ago. So I don't know. Maybe I can talk to her. Maybe we can talk here, too. You know?
Yeah, that'd be dope, man. That would be fucking dope.
I'll
fucking
see what I can find out.
It sucks right now,
man.
When I
went to fucking Dorchester, they told my dad, if I don't get over my parents' divorce, my business is going to go up in smoke. No pun intended, is what the lady told my dad. I was fucking dealing with a fucking lot of shit, and, like, it's hard to do the fucking business now. Like, I love it, and I want it to fucking succeed. But, like, we're going through fucking growing pains, and then we got all these other people copying us, like, copying our designs, copying what we do with the laser, and I'm trying to, like, it enrages me when I see it. I look at that all like competition, and I'm like, I show it to Aaron. I'm like, dude, look at what's going on right now. Like, these people are copying us. They're trying to beat us. We need to step our game up and beat them. And he's just sort of like, oh, well. It's like, dude, like, what do you mean, oh, well? Like, we need to fucking conquer them. Like, this can't be happening right now. Like, we need to win. And he doesn't fucking get it, and all the stress fucking falls on me. That's the thing with owning a fucking business. Is you're never going to get people to care about it like you fucking care about it. They all just want a job and a fucking payday. Like, 6 months ago, we're fucking drowning in orders. I'm begging this kid to work. I'm paying him a ton of money. I'm saying, dude, name your fucking price. We're going to do, he's like, no, I'm going to go get a 20-hour job. And then now he's like, I kind of want to quit my job and work for you full time. I'm like, why didn't you fucking tell me this fucking 6 months ago, you fucking piece of shit? Like, it fucking makes me so angry, dude.
I get it.
Yep.
I get it, man. I don't know. I deal with it like any other job, you know what I mean? I go to work every day, and then, like, somebody will come in and be like, hey, I'm putting in my 2 weeks. I'm like, well, goddamn, I thought you were, like, fucking down for the team and shit. Well, you know, it's more money, and, you know, I don't have to deal with it. I'm like, okay. So I guess we're not fucking in reality, dude, we're not fucking friends. Like, the people I work with, we're not fucking friends. But that 8 hours, yeah, I guess I'm your friend because we all got to work together. But nobody gives a fuck, dude. Nobody gives
I'm as friendly as I have to be to people I work with. That's about it.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck, dude.
Oh, I'm good.
They don't
fucks,
care.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And that's the sad reality, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm all about doing the least amount of work for the most amount of money.
Yeah, and especially now with the pandemic and shit, like, nobody wants a fucking job. So at least here in Iowa, everybody's hiring. Like, fucking
oh, yeah,
every fucking every fucking business is hiring. And people are like,
issue.
Why are
they're hiring. That's the issue, though. There's a bunch of jobs, but there's no careers. It's just you want. Here's a fucking dead-end job that barely pays any money.
Right.
Dude,
yeah.
Any job that you find that's a fucking that you find online or that you see a sign that says we're hiring, all those jobs are fucking garbage slave jobs,
yep.
And you're never gonna fucking get anywhere. The only
yep.
way you're gonna get an actual good job is with a connection. If you know somebody. All the good jobs go to somebody who knows somebody, whether it's because you're related to them, because you're friends with them, because you fucking play golf
yep.
together, because you fucking do something with them. Like, you're never going to find a good job on your own. The only way you're going to get a decent job is if you fucking know somebody and they fucking take care of you. That's the only way to get a fucking good job.
That's how I got into the county. I just had my fucking aunt just message everybody that she knew that worked for the county to get me in.
My job ain't fucking the best job in the world. You know what I mean? I deal with shit that I don't want to deal with and fucking residents and everything else. But anyways, my boss, after 7 years, they give you a sabbatical, which is like a 30-day fucking vacation where basically you don't exist for 30 days. Like, nobody's to contact you or, you know, you're away from the company for 30 days. So prior to this, I had already got my, like, yearly raise, which is, like, 50 cent. They were like, oh, here's 50 cent. We appreciate you. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, so before he left, they did all the – him and this other GM fucking were like, hey, we need to pay this motherfucker more money or he's going to walk when I leave. And that's the mentality that they had because I never talked to him about it, but I was like, who the fuck's going to work here for 30 days without a supervisor or, like, the leader and just eat the shit? I mean, I don't get paid to do your fucking job, so I'm not going to do your job. So prior to him leaving, they called me in for a meeting. He was like fucking with me about something. He was like, we need to have a meeting. I thought it was like bad news, you know?
Then
he's like,
the issue. Then
you have
the issues down here in Florida where they're increasing the minimum wage to $15 by 2025, so everybody's getting more money. And then, the current workers
aren't. We got that. We got like...
Yep.
The starting wage here is $15. So I make a little bit more than that. You know, maybe I'm
but you know what I mean?
$20.
You had to work your way up to that, whereas everybody else is getting hired at that.
Yeah, and so he's leaving like the prior week, so we have a meeting and he's like, oh, you know, we're gonna have this meeting, and I go in there. I think it's like bad news because they built it up like I did something wrong, but he was just fucking with me. So we go in there, he's like, hey, so we're going to give you this raise, but what are you interested? Like, what do you want? And I'm like, I want fucking $5, you know? I want a $5 fucking raise. And he's like, you ain't getting that, but we'll give you this. So I couldn't really, like, turn it down. And, you know what I mean? It was, like, good amount of money.
Yeah.
So he had to do that to keep me. You know what I mean? This, believe it or not, dude, when it comes to, like, what I do for a living, it's easy to be like, I had a friend give me shit about it the other day. He's like, dude, you don't do anything that I couldn't do. I could just YouTube everything that you fix and find it. I'm like, yeah, but I get paid to fucking fix it. So there's a difference. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of shit that I YouTube and look at videos for, but this property fucking needs me. Without me, they're not selling apartments. So that's the bottom line, you know? So anyways, they gave me a raise to keep me here. And then he was like, you know, they've never done that for anybody else. You know, he tried to give me this fucking story, like, I'm special and the company has never fucking offered anybody more money. I'm like, dude, bullshit. You were leaving for 30 fucking days. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't piss on me and tell me it's raining, dude. Fuck that.
You do have a pretty sweet job because technically you get to work from home. You know what I mean? You get a place to live and you get to fucking work from home technically. That's not fucking bad.
It's not bad. And
no, I do that.
I mean, I get a fucking discount on my rent, too. So what I pay for rent, I probably have the cheapest fucking rent on property. You know,
that's what I mean.
Honest.
You get cheap
so,
rent plus you get a paycheck. Like, works for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad, dude. And to be honest with you, like, I'm becoming
fucking
better.
I hate commuting.
I'm becoming better at what I do. So, like, eventually, you know, one day I could start my own business, and it would be going around fixing shit. But for right now, this is where I'm at. So,
you know. That's fucking cool, man. Like, owning a fucking business sucks because, like, basically you're in a constant war of you wanting people to do more work for less money and them wanting more money to do less work. And you're never going to find a happy medium. They're always going to be bitching. Like, now Aaron's like, I like to work for you full time, but I'd like you to split the profits with me. And it's like, bro, like, it's my company. Like, it's my idea, technically. He's like, yeah, well, I'm the factory. It's like, yeah, you are the factory. You think the fucking Nike factory split the fucking money from every pair of Jordans with fucking Michael
Jordan?
Like,
10 cents.
Like, no. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's fucking ridiculous what this kid expects right now. And it's like, he had it made so good, and I had it made pretty good, and now, like, he's giving me shit like, oh, yeah, we were doing this when we were actually making money. It's like, yeah, I wonder why it stopped, because you fucking stressed me out so much and then left me hanging when the business was fucking blowing up.
You sent me to
and
a
now
loony
the
bin,
business
that's
is
why.
Struggling, and you're like, hey, I'd like to come back, and I'd like you to give me more money. It's like, oh, yeah, would you? How about you fucking do something?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't put any money into the company. This company was built off my money. Every time I show up, you tell me you need me to buy you something else. I need you to buy me this. I need you to buy this tool. I need you to buy this. And I buy all of it. I buy all the tools, buy all the fucking titanium, buy all the fucking machines. And, like, what do? You just complain and then you leave. And then you decide you want to come back whenever you want to fucking come back and expect me to just pick up where we left off and give you more money. I've already sunk all my fucking money into this. We got fucking tens of thousands of dollars worth of fucking swords unmade at your fucking house, and you don't want to make them. And, like, I want to show up and make them, and you don't want me to do it. And, like, I don't know what you fucking want. You just fucking is a pain in the fucking dick.
Yeah, I would find somebody that you could fucking put in that position without him. But I get it, you know what I mean?
It's that's what my... I did. I set up – I fucking bought equipment to grind the swords, and I set up stations at three different people's houses, Wolf, Jason's, and Timmy's, and then there's also one in Aaron. So I bought in four pieces of every piece of equipment and put them at different places, and I pay all these people to grind the swords down, and then I bring them to him and have him laser them. And that's exactly what he wanted to do, is just be the laser man. And then as soon as I'd buy equipment and set it up at other people's houses, I'd be like, hey, can you come help me train this guy? And he'd be like, no. And then he's like, why aren't they working? And it's like, because you didn't want to fucking come help train them. So I don't know why you expect them to know what to fucking do when you don't want to help me train them. We buy a fucking laser, put it at my girl's house, try to have her start doing it, and he says the laser's broken. It wasn't fucking broken. He just didn't want them to fucking take his job. Like, it's fucking impossible.
Dude, that's crazy because I was on Facebook the other day, and this dude that works at McDonald's was like, the fucking ice cream machine ain't broke. The motherfuckers just don't want to give you ice cream. They don't want to do it. So they'll tell you it's broke.
Yeah. They fucking don't want to clean it. That's what it is at McDonald's. That ice cream machine's a bitch to clean, and they don't feel like cleaning it. So they just say it's broken. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good excuse, you know. I deal with it at work at my job too, man. My boss is like up my ass all the time with like work orders and like shit. He's like, go do this, go do that, go do this. And then out of the five, one of those will come back and he'd be like, why didn't you do it right the first time? I'm like, I don't fucking know, dude. Like, I'm doing 10 fucking things at one time. You know what I mean? Like, you're expecting way too fucking much from me right now. You know what I mean? I don't make enough fucking money to be fucking super maintenance. I'm not super maintenance. You know, I'm not Superman. I'm just one fucking, I didn't even finish fucking high school, dude. You're asking way too fucking much. You know, you need to chill out. But I don't know. Like I said, over the last year, it'll be 2 years in March. And over those 2 years, dude, I've gotten so fucking, I can change a garbage disposal in fucking 15 minutes, not even that, 10 minutes, you know? So when I first started here, I was, like, scratching my head, looking at shit. I'm like, how the fuck does this work? But now it's just, like, muscle memory. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, I like fixing shit, dude. I'm not, like, a mechanic, though, and I'm not big into, like, fixing cars and shit, but, like, I like to figure out how things work. I figure if I smoke meth and went to work, dude, I could fucking kick ass, dude. If I smoked a bowl of meth and went to work, I would be the fucking man, dude. They'd be like, what in the actual fuck? is this motherfucker doing? But, you know, it's just my job that I ended up doing, you know. Eventually, down the road, I don't know, I might work here 5 more years or whatever, but, you know, maybe I'll start my own business where I'll get a van and I'll fill the motherfucker with tools and I'll just take, you know, whatever I want to take. Whoever calls me, I'll be like, I'll be right out there. I'll be like, nope, not doing that today. That's what I want, you know, because I used to do that.
Yeah.
I used to do service work. Like, I show up people's houses and shit and be like, what's wrong? Oh, yeah, that's right, you know. But here, I don't have a choice. Like, we can't turn down anything here. Like, when the work order comes in, it could be something so fucking stupid. Like, my apartment smells funny. What the fuck you want me to do about it? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to fuck it. I don't know. I could put a machine in there that'll fucking suck all the air out of your apartment. I forgot. It's like a UV machine that we use that, like, if you have candles or fucking, like, those plug-in fucking outlet fragrance things, it'll suck all that shit. All those smells will be fucking sucked in this machine. And I have to put those in people's apartments sometimes, but it's like, I don't know. Like, the stupidest shit that we get, dude, like, fucking... I look at some of these people and I'm like, what the fuck is your deal? Like, and that's another thing that baffles me is, like, people don't know the simplest shit, dude. Like, you know what pisses me off more than anything nowadays is smoke detectors when they start chirping. When the batteries are going bad, when that chirp, I can hear that shit like a mile away because it fucking drives me crazy. I cannot stand fucking smoke detectors chirping. It's like, you don't know how to change a fucking battery, so you want me to do it? Okay, all right, yeah, whatever. But it drives me fucking insane. It sounds like you got one in the background somewhere. But it whatever that was, it sounded like there was a chirp when I was talking about it. But that's what I'm saying. Oh. It's like, it's so engraved in my fucking brain, that chirping noise. So, like, I automatically know, you know, I've been programmed, dude. I've been fucking programmed to fucking pick up. Like, I can't go to Walmart or, like, any stores or the fucking movie theater without looking around, like, up at the ceiling and, like, looking around, like, who the fuck does maintenance in this motherfucker? Because this shit looks like fucking trash, you know? Like, why is there fucking ceiling tiles with fucking brown shit all over them? Like, water's been dripping. Like, I look around at shit. Like, I look at light bulbs. I look at everything because I'm programmed to fucking pick that shit out. But anyways, it's like somebody will call at, like, 3 in the morning. It's like, my smoke detector has been chirping for 2 days and, you know, this and that. I'm like, take the motherfucker off the wall. Like, I'm not coming out there to do that. I'm not coming out there at 3 in the fucking morning to fucking fuck you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get it, dude. It's fucking annoying when that fucking thing is chirping. It's like the most annoying fucking thing in the world. It's like nails on a chalkboard. But, like I said, I can't go out in public. I can't go when I go to the grocery store or anything, dude. I'm like looking around, like I'll look up at the ceiling. People probably think I'm fucking nuts, dude, because I'll stand there and look at the ceiling and the lights and the fucking, you know, all the shit that people don't look at. And I'm like looking around. I'm like, who the fuck is the maintenance guy here? Because this shit is fucked up. This shit looks like fucking.
Yeah.
Y'all need some help. Y'all need some help. You know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's just my. Basically, what I'm doing here is like a college campus, but we fix shit. So, you know, whatever. And we just hired a new dude. We hired a new dude, so hopefully he fucking can figure shit out too. But we'll see. But anyway, I think we're closing out here. We got like 5 minutes, I think.
Yeah, we'll fucking wrap this shit up. I gotta run upstairs, bring Annie this food. I gotta fucking bring my cousin some dabs. He just texted me. And, I'm glad to be back on the radio. I feel like this was a good fucking summary of where I've been. I was able to talk about it without sounding too crazy, giving some mental health awareness. I've already had a couple people hit me up telling me it's a great show and they enjoyed it. So I'm glad for that. Thank you for everybody that listened. Thank you guys for being a part of it. Love everybody. I have no more ego. This has been the death and rebirth of Dabbin' Aladdin. We ain't going nowhere. We fucking bad boys for life. And, we'll be back again next week. I don't know if it'll be on Sunday. I don't know what day it'll be. I'll coordinate with you guys. But we could just do it Sundays now. Fucking take him to church every Sunday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Just let me know.
Any given Sunday.
Word.
I'll be around.
Win the Super
Bowl
and drive off in a Hyundai.
Yeah, I'll be around. Hopefully we can get back into, like, the maybe predictions and shit. I don't know how you're feeling about that, but
yeah,
that'd
man.
Be great. I miss that.
That's
you
cool.
Know.
I like Dylan producing the show and me just being in the Tesla talking shit. I like this formula as long as Dylan can do it successfully.
Right.
Yeah, because earlier you were kind of heated. God damn.
I'm
not going to smoke weed anymore.
My brain was about to explode. Ernesto called me and was like, yo, what's going on? Are you okay? I need to smoke some fucking weed. He was like, you don't need to smoke weed. Calm down. Just get it set back up and calm down, and I'll call in. I was like, all right, fine. And then I fucking called Dylan and got it all set up. I'm sorry for talking shit about you, Dylan. I didn't mean it. I was angry. Fuck. I couldn't get, like, my brain's working differently now that I'm stopped smoking weed. Eventually, it's going to be better than it was before. But it's a new egoless dab in Aladdin, and we here, and we ain't going nowhere. And, yeah, we'll fucking end it on that note. Hit that
great
fucking
show,
Seth Rollins music, Dylan. Thank you, guys.
Word. Peace.
Yeah, fucking...